boxing 7 days a week.
Looking at Lee, can't catch, always dreaming, who's the 143rd winner of the Kentucky Derby.
Live and exclusive across the Sky Racing Network.
I'm Sarah Womby. More than 200,000 Australians are now being supported through the National Disability Insurance Scheme, with almost all participants saying their experience has been positive. The latest quarterly data on the NDIS released today showed 93% of participants rated their experience as good or very good. That's a 5% boost from the previous 3 months. Figures show almost one-third of people in the scheme are receiving disability supports for the first time. It's just 6 days until Victorians find out who will govern them for the next 4 years, and the major parties are in non-stop pledge mode to win votes. It's too late to persuade everyone, though, as over 540,000 people have already voted. The Victorian Electoral Commission expects this figure will have risen to about 2 million, half of all eligible voters, before Election Day on November 24. A man has died from a heart attack after he was stung by a stingray while swimming at a Tasmanian beach. Police say the 42-year-old went into cardiac arrest about 3 yesterday afternoon at Lauderdale Beach east of Hobart after he suffered a puncture wound to his lower abdomen. He was swimming alone and close to shore when the attack happened. Mayor of the local Clarence Council, Doug Chibman, has told the ABC it's a sad event.
Well, I'm actually shocked, and it is a dreadful accident. Now, thoughts and prayers go out to the family and friends of the man concerned. I'm not aware of any other stingray attacks on the beach there, but we will be taking advice from the police in terms of public safety.
A motorcyclist has been killed in southern Queensland. Emergency workers were called to Morranganta north of Toowoomba about 3:30 yesterday afternoon. Police say the 64-year-old man died at the scene. Preliminary information suggests his motorcycle came off the road at a bend. A man has died after the car he was travelling collided with another in Melbourne's east. Police say the man died at the Ferntree Gully intersection where the collision took place at about 11 last night. A man and a woman who were in the other car were taken to hospital with minor injuries. Saudi Arabia has rejected the CIA's report that the country's crown prince, Mohammed bin Salman, ordered the murder of journalist Jamal Khashoggi. The BBC's Sebastian Usher has more.
A key claim in the report in the Washington Post is that the CIA has an intercepted phone call from Khalid bin Salman, the Saudi ambassador to the US and brother of the crown prince, in which he told Jamal Khashoggi that he should go to the consulate in Istanbul and that he would be safe. On Twitter, Khalid bin Salman, who is now back in Saudi Arabia, has quickly responded that he never spoke to Mr. Khashoggi by phone, nor did he suggest that he go to Turkey. A statement attributed to an embassy spokesperson adds that Saudi Arabia has yet to see the primary basis for all these claims.
Briefly, forensic recovery teams continue searching for victims in the charred wreckage of the Northern Californian town of Paradise, with over 1,000 people listed missing in the state's deadliest wildfire. And more than 40 people have been killed and dozens wounded in the Central African Republic in an attack on a Catholic mission sheltering 20,000 refugees. This is Air News. Despite the thunderstorms, there was no stopping the Proteas from claiming a 21-run victory over Australia and their reduced 10-overs aside 2020 international on the Gold Coast last night. After wild storms caused a two-hour delay to the start, South Africa thrashed 6 for 108 before restricting the battling host to 7 for 87 in the one-off T20. Captain Glenn Maxwell couldn't stop Australia losing their fourth straight T20 international despite his best efforts, top scoring with 38. He says his side's bowling was inconsistent, especially early in the match.
Oh, I suppose it was just about executing early and making sure that we could really try and tie them down and making sure it was our execution versus theirs, and unfortunately they were above us as far as execution goes at the start. We were a little bit mixed in our lines and our lengths and gave them far too many balls to hit.
In the NBL, Perth Wildcats coach Trevor Gleeson has praised his side's will to win after a gutsy 88-83 overtime on the road against Cairns. Missing three starters, the latter leading Wildcats had to pull out all the stops to get the win last night. In the other game, the Adelaide 36ers beat the Illawarra Hawks 104-79. Masabo Luongo's late equaliser has secured a one-all draw for the Socceroos against South Korea in Brisbane last night. And in the rugby, the Wallabies beat Italy 29-7, and there were wins for Wales and England. Australian Independent Radio News.
The biggest cowboy Christmas ever is now on at K Ranch Arena near Camden. Whatever you do, don't miss the spectacular Extreme Bulls Finals this Saturday and Sunday. See Australia's elite bull riders battle it out on the baddest, meanest one-ton athletes in their quest to take home the gold buckle. Two big shows, Saturday at 6 p.m. and Sunday at 2 p.m. full of thrills and spills like you've never seen before. Tickets from $30. Save by booking online at kranch.com.au.
Got that sick feeling just thinking about how much money you owe? No money to enjoy life? If this sounds like you, then you should give Capital Debt Solutions a call for a confidential chat about combining your unsecured debts into just one weekly repayment tailored to your budget. That's a solution working for you. Focus on a debt-free future. You deserve it. Capital Debt Solutions. Solutions for your financial freedom. 1-300-107-155 or capitaldebtsolutions.com.au.
Fear the Dragon. Fear
the Dragon. Big boys are three across, coming to the line. Huntsville down the center. Fear the Dragon on the outside for Miller is coming on. And it's Fear the Dragon. Huntsville fights on to the finish. Huntsville between. Fear the Dragon on the outside. Fear the Dragon on the outside gives Miller back-to-back Pepsi North America Cups. It's Fear the Dragon in 148-4.
Fear the Dragon. Limited semen available. Book now. Visit yourabee.com.au.
Benan, tag Blair Hull, but this is a beauty.
Get in. Oh, what a shot.
Now he needs treble 19.
Sky Sports Radio, welcome to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. Here's your hosts, Jimmy Smith and Ray Thomas.
I hope you're having a great start to your Sunday morning. I know we are here in the studio at French's Forest, and there's a lot of reasons for that. We're looking forward to what's going to be a huge show, dare I say it. It was promoted on social media throughout the course of the week, actually. Hashtag massive here today. But I think the thing that we're most excited about on this Sunday morning here in Sydney Town is that not in Melbourne, not down in dreary old bleak city, but right here next to me in the studio, the man of the moment, Raymond Thomas, back on deck.
We got the band back together.
Oh, how exciting.
How are you, James?
Seriously, welcome back.
And it's got to say, it's great to be back. It's so good to be back home. Hey, unfortunately, some things never change. And the Australian cricket team lurches from one loss to another, James.
Mm. Did you stay up, just out of interest, did you stay up last night and watch the Australian batting innings?
I didn't. I was actually out and about at 21st, so I was keeping a score check on the phone.
Wow.
And when it got reduced to 10
overs. Social butterfly now that you're not working.
No. And when it was reduced to 10 overs, we're halfway chancy, but our batting woes, and the concern, what concerns me too, is look at the Sheffield Shield results over the last week or so. There's no one knocking the door down, demanding a spot in the top six either.
Can I just ask, when you first heard that the game was to be reduced to 10 overs, you felt, oh, we're a chance here. So Australian cricket has plummeted to such a level that you only give us a hope when there's 10 overs each way.
No, if you win the toss and you're chasing 10 overs, you're a half-pie chance, aren't you? You think you could bowl well anyway. We never really hoped. And they were, what, 1 for 43 after 3 overs. They got off to a flyer and it was pretty much game over from there. And there's just no confidence in the top six at the moment, is there?
6 for 108, the Republic of South Africa. Australia, 7 for 87. Never quite got going. Aaron Finch played a horrible shot. I tell you what, it's a strong push from inside the commentary box, most notably Shane Warne, to push Aaron Finch into the test side. I don't think his technique doesn't stand up. In my mind, it's going to be fascinating when they start in Adelaide. That's early December. That's only around the corner. Yeah.
And we've got the three T20 starting Wednesday against India. And as I said, Jim, there's no one knocking on the door saying, pick me in the test team. Usman Khawaja apparently is back running now, which is a great sign. So he's hoping to have one shield match prior to the first test.
Got to have a shield.
It's almost imperative that he comes out. If he gets any sort of runs, looks in any sort of nick, you got to pick him. Because our top six, it is a real concern.
And here's the problem with Usman Khawaja being injured. Usman, he's not the most dedicated athlete we've ever seen in Australian cricket. He's not Mike Hussey. So as a result of that, you're thinking, oh, come on, I hope he's in a bit of nick, not just with the bat, but literally fitness-wise.
I was listening to Mark Ward being interviewed about during the week, and he said that he's heard that Usman has been really focused on his comeback, and he's actually probably going to make a life out of you there, Jim, because if he's really got himself knuckled down, knowing full well that there's no Steve Smith and there's no Dave Warner for this summer, so Usman Khawaja are probably going to be the man, isn't he?
Well, everyone at Cricket Australia is hoping Usman's working hard to get back into the test side.
Not good. We did have a win overnight, though, in the rugby.
Yes, we did. Well done. The Wallabies over Italy, 26 points to 7. By the way, the line from tab.com.au for that match was 19.5. How good are they?
They nailed it.
Injury concern for David Pocock. So he's going to be in doubt for the test against England next week. So that is a bit of a concern.
Head or neck injury or something?
It looked like it wasn't the initial contact, was it? We're just looking at the replay. Yeah. It was like someone came and got him in a headlock.
In the second tackle, yeah. So
we'll have to get an update on that one. We mentioned what a massive show it's going to be. Forget Mark Ball. We've got the preeminent war on today.
Exactly.
That's Kim War. After a win yesterday of our century. News fan a little unlucky too, so we can ask her about that.
Put on, News fan.
Tommy Berry got the job done on first hand, and well done too, because his wife's a part owner, so that was very smart of Tommy on that
there
one.
There was pressure on the trainer as well, because I think Michael's wife's also involved in that horse, so there was pressure all around, trainer and jockey.
You remember the look, the glances, and the words spoken between those two, saying, listen,
don't stuff this up, boys.
You don't get this home, we're both in trouble here. Zorba will be on. Talking all things rugby league, of course, the big news story during the course of the week is the sexual assault allegations that have been levelled against Jared Hayne. It's such a serious issue to see how it plays out. From what I understand, his lawyer, Rami Kudamai, has heard from Jared Hayne. He is okay. He had gone underground. No one had heard from him for such a long time after he was alerted to the fact that it was going to become public. A lot of people questioning about why the woman in question went straight to the NRL and not the police and took time to do it. Well, I don't think these timelines run on any sort of, you can't look
correct
at timelines. And certainly, from what I understand, she was encouraged by family members to go to police, go to the NRL. So,
and this is certainly a very secondary element of this whole situation, because what you're talking about should be dealt with first and foremost. But the secondary element, Jim, is where does this then leave Jared Hayne's NRL career? Because will clubs now sit back and wait to see this sexual assault allegation unfold first, which could take months?
From what we understand, the Dragons were very keen on Jared Hayne. They're looking for a replace for Nene McDonald, or maybe even playing at fullback instead of Matt Dufty. And I think that's dropped off because of these allegations. And for Parramatta too, Parramatta then had an opportunity. They're trying to free up cap space to fit Jared Hayne in. I think they wanted to prior to these allegations becoming public. So Parramatta's stance is going to be interesting on this one as well. So all that to go through with Zorb. How, Josh, can you work this one out for me? Josh Maguire is now going to the North Queensland Cowboys on a 4-year deal. He had 2 years remaining
on his Broncos deal. So he's signed an extension, probably an upgrade as well, to go up there to North Queensland. So Paul Green's got his
effective
man.
Effective win.
Straight away.
So he leaves his final 2 years, the Broncos, goes to the Cowboys.
Right. Now, the rules are that you're not allowed to speak to a player until October 31 or November 1 in their final year of their contract. So we're 2 years out from Josh Maguire.
Mm.
So how does that happen?
Could he have gone to the club? Didn't he ask the club for an extension to go towards the end of his career?
Mm-hmm.
And the club said he wouldn't get one?
So could by mutual consent, they said, well, if you can get a better deal, go elsewhere.
Yeah.
So let's put it in these terms. It's okay for the club to push you out.
I see where you're coming from.
But it's not okay for the new club. But it's not okay for the player
to do what's best for himself.
To do what's best for himself.
I see where you're coming from. Interesting conundrum.
It only works in favour of the club, not the player.
It works in favour of the employer in this
regard. That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. So it's interesting. We'll take your thoughts on that. 1353.
What are you saying? You're saying it should be completely banned, or what are you saying?
Well, it's worked out well for Josh Maguire, and it's worked out well for the Broncos.
Mm.
So when you start talking about the November 1 and the deadline around that, or the opening time around that, then there's actually a number of circumstances where that doesn't work.
So what you're saying, it's all heavily in favour of the employer or the club in this instance in regards to the individual.
That's right.
He's fighting with both hands behind his back, so to speak.
During the course of the week, they had the CEO's conference. They're looking at banning back-ended contracts. I understand that, but you know, most contracts are back-ended, whether it's 400, 450, 500. They're just not to the Greg Eastwood extent of 200, 200, 800.
that way, one of the best of all time.
Well, they valued him at a $400,000 a year player, but now, depending on who you read and who you believe, it was either Dez or Raylene or Ray Dibb who said, okay, $1.2 million over 3 years, and we're going to pay you this way, $200, $200, $800, which caused problems in the end. Maybe on the back of that, Dave Clemmer decided to leave.
Mm.
He's there thinking, well, why is he getting $800? I'm $500. I'm a better player than him. But he wasn't an $800,000 pay. He was a $400,000 pay.
I know where you're coming from.
Anyway, we'll take your thoughts on that as well. Michael Hawks is going to be on the program as well. We've got our mystery voice competition. Phil Moss will be around to talk about that Socceroos draw last night against South Korea.
11th hour.
Didn't they get it late?
Mm.
One all against South Korea. Massimo Luongo, who was the star of the last Asian Cup as we get ready
That's
for
right.
the next Asian Cup, was the man with the equaliser. It's the farewell.
Deep in injury time.
Farewell to Timmy Cahill, Australia v Lebanon on Tuesday. That'll start at 7 p.m, so we can look forward to that one.
Is he Australia's greatest ever footballer?
Yes.
I'll ask Phil Moss.
He's Australia's greatest ever footballer for Australia.
Mm. I would agree with
you. So if you look at the club record of someone like a Craig Johnston or a Harry Kewell, and we'll have to ask Phil about it because he's better placed than I am, but they had magnificent club, like Craig Johnston's club career with that all-star Liverpool
phenomenal.
Side.
Yeah, and he held his own.
Absolutely.
For
more than held
his
own.
Years and years,
yeah.
But in terms of, as you said, the national impact on the sport and the national team, we'll ask Phil Moss. He said he's much more in a better position to comment on us, but I dare say he's probably Australia's greatest footballer.
Do you have a problem with him getting it? In effect, it's like a testimonial, a little
Not at all.
A farewell.
No. That's good. Good chance for the Australian public to say thank you and goodbye to Timmy Cahill, and I reckon it's a great idea.
By the way,
have you got a problem with it?
No, none whatsoever.
Okay.
None whatsoever. By the way, if Jonathan Thurston and Cameron Smith can have a testimonial match at Suncourt, you've got to be very careful about what you condone and dismiss. Mark Leishman, the world's 19th best golfer. He's going to be on the program today.
Head of World Cup of Golf next week.
Yes.
Yes.
He's teaming up with Cameron Smith for that one. It's an alternate shot best ball competition.
Yeah.
Mm. Interesting. He was talking about how much they're teammates, and they played over there in Kuala Lumpur, and I think they roomed together and they spent a lot of time together. So but they are mates with Adam Scott. I don't know why Jason Day's not playing. We'll have to work out. But
did he come home, Jason Day?
So he's ranked 19th, Leishman. Smith is 33, but Day's 11. And generally speaking, the World Cup of Golf is the two highest ranked
if
players from that country.
Yeah.
But
as we saw in the Australian Open, that none of the Australian top golfers have really come back for that.
No, it's around the timing too. I heard Mike Clayton yesterday talking about it's just got to be in February.
Well, next year's a problem too with the President's Cup, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a clash virtually, so.
But our legend of the game, we're looking forward to this one.
Mm.
Andrew Simons.
We could do with him right now, couldn't we?
Seriously. He's making a great fist of it in the commentary box. He's dry.
He's great, actually. He's great.
He's as dry as a rusty shovel. Let's go with that. There we go.
I know where you're going to go. But he's really good, though, isn't he?
And he's awesome.
He's insightful and he's great to listen to. And he was great to watch when he was in full flight, bat ball in the field. He was a charismatic, engaging cricketer, wasn't he?
Brilliant fielder.
He was a good
player. Brilliant fielder. So we're going to have a little chat with Andrew Simons. This is our the great Roy will be our legend of the game. Now, brings us to our talk topic before we get to our first break. And my word, hasn't there been some controversy over this, Raven?
That's a great point, Ray.
Yeah, thanks, Mossy. long overdue decisions in sport.
On the back of?
On the back of Tony Archer being demoted from head of the referees. Are we allowed to say that?
Oh, you just did.
Oh. Yeah, thank you. That was John O'Shea there. But long overdue decisions in sport. So Graham Annesley's been in there about 3 weeks and said, Tony, we're going to move you to this part of the business. So that's so what I would describe as... Yeah. Well, you said, do you agree with the decision? I said, long overdue decision in sport, which brought us to our talk topic today.
Okay.
Long overdue. And you've got one, Roman?
Norm Proven.
Right.
Only because I thought he should have been immortal years ago, and I was so happy when he finally got that much-deserved accolade this year.
Well, there you go. That's perfect. There you go.
Is that suit?
Perfect.
Not as controversial as yours, mate. But
long overdue. Some would say the Longstaff review into Australian cricket was long overdue.
Yeah.
Long overdue.
Did it reap the correct result, though, in the end? That's a concern.
I don't think we're done yet, still. Anyway, there we go. Now it's okay, just not winning. So...
I saw a tweet yesterday. It's fantastic. The malaise of Australian cricket can be traced back to one thing.
Oh, here we go.
The real estate market.
Oh. How do we...
The size of backyards. They shrunk. Have a think about it.
You know what?
Exactly. When you were a kid, you played all day, all night in the backyard till your parents dragged you in.
There would be some data on the average size of blocks.
Correct. I tell you what, it's not as dumb as you think. When I first read it, I laughed. I kept thinking, hang on a sec. When you were a kid, you played cricket in summer and football in the winter.
In the backyard.
And you had space. And you had room to develop your skills. There's no room anymore.
That is an excellent point. It's funny you mention that because Roy, Andrew Simons, his father was a schoolmaster. So they had access to all the school equipment.
There you go.
So he would go down and throw to him in the nets.
Mm-hmm.
So that's their backyard.
There you go. Facilities.
Ray, you might.
That should have been a talk topic.
What are you bringing up at 22 minutes past 7?
I don't know, it just came to me.
Long overdue decisions in sport. Maybe...
build bigger backyards.
ScoMo can come out and say, minimum size of backyards must be X.
Now, I agree.
It must be 60, 70 square metres, so you can at least get a bit of a run-up and roll the arm over.
From panel operator Hamish.
Yes.
In the past 15 years, extensive research apparently has shown that the average size of suburban subdivisions has dropped from 600 square metres to about 420.
Yeah.
Probably even smaller.
And you know what that means?
And now people are living in apartment blocks left, right and
centre. Living in apartment blocks. McMansions where, you know, you're built within a metre of every fence.
Yep.
All it means is not only can you not swing a cat, you can't swing a bat.
Yeah. I tell you what, it wasn't as dumb as people thought. When I first read it, I laughed, and the more I thought about it, I thought, you know what? Anyway, we'll move on.
Long overdue decisions in sport. I tell you what, you know what the other one that propped up for me?
Mm?
You've had some time off this week, haven't you?
Yeah.
That was a long overdue decision from you.
Oh, yeah.
Finally have some time off.
Yeah, after 3 months.
How many times did you go for a run this week?
Every day bar one.
There you go.
We went to see Bohemian Rhapsody. Oh, you got to go see that.
Wow.
We haven't been to movies for ages with Tanya. We dragged along to see Bohemian Rhapsody. What a movie. And I'm not a great Queen fan, but it was fantastic.
I love Queen. So
I'm a new admirer of their music now because it was fantastic.
Of course, last week, we remember, courtesy of Prakash and the team at Event Cinema, so Tracy and I went to A Star Is Born.
Oh,
so
gold class, no doubt.
Gold class, yeah, it was fantastic.
Did you like that?
Yeah, it was okay.
Cam thought it was okay too.
One good scene, that's about it. 1353-53 is the overline number. We'll get to our first break here. 23 minutes past 7. It's the Big Sports Breakfast. Long overdue decisions in sport is what we're looking for.
Mum, do you hear that
that beeping sound?
You left the fridge door open again.
Close. It's the sound of Bingley trucks loading new refrigerators ready for free delivery.
And free unpacking. We take away the packaging too.
And we'll take away your old fridge free.
It's a great deal.
Buy any new refrigerator right now from Bingley and you'll get free full service delivery.
You know when the beeping will stop, Lionel?
Yes, very soon. So be quick.
See in store or bingley.com.au for details.
The annual Big Sports Lunch has become one of the hottest tickets on the sporting calendar. Join TK, Laurie and the rest of the Big Sports Breakfast crew for 2019's events. It'll be a fabulous afternoon with a host of your sporting favourites. Friday, February 22, in the Big Top at Sydney's Luna Park. Tickets at $160 per person include two-course lunch and drinks. Grab your workmates or some friends and book a table. Call Billy at Luna Park on 0468 928 242. 0468 928 242.
So I'm in the home of
Deb.
She's about to work out how easy it is to listen to her favourite radio station on any Amazon Alexa device.
Oh, fun.
Just say, Alexa, play, then say the name of your favourite radio station.
Alexa, play the name of your favourite radio station.
Huh? No, you say, Alexa, play non-stop AM.
Play non-stop AM.
Forget about the
moral obligation. Oh, what if that's not my favourite radio station?
Controlling the radio with your voice is now unbelievably easy with Amazon Alexa. Get yours at amazon.com.au.
Here comes Cross Counter. Cross Counter coming at Marbello. Cross Counter's flying. The Blue Army have done it at last. Cross Counter has won the Melbourne Cup from Marbello, a Prince of Aaron Finch.
On Sky Sports Radio, you're tuned to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
Yeah, welcome back to the program. We'll get to our
that's a good one.
Like morning, boys. Read the backyard cricket. How big are the backyards in India?
Good.
No, no more. They've originally just playing the street. This one's from Stu. Great Muhammad Ali retiring was long overdue.
Gee. Was it Trevor Burbick right at the end? Was he his last fight?
Trevor Burbick?
Yeah, Larry Holmes gave,
Larry Holmes
no,
was
gave him an awful pacing, but he actually made a comeback after that. Had
again.
Another fight.
Oh, dear. Michelle from Dubbo. Great save, Jimmy. Dry as. Yeah, I was trying to think of fire shovel.
You were in all sorts.
Sayo Biscuits, another nomination from Tanya. Thank you. Yes.
You were in all sorts of...
Let's move on to the race replay.
Okay,
please,
your favourite part of the show. Hey, you would say, James, some controversy.
Yes.
Out of the first race yesterday.
Ooh,
winner
wasn't
is Chestar. Listen for the fast-finishing Rohirrim.
Chestar in front from Hard Conquer to Chestar, getting a length and a half clear from Hard Conquer to Ronstar goes to third. Boy, Rohirrim gives away a big start. Pass starting to get into him. He's seven off the lead. Chestar two lengths clear from Hard Conquer to Rohirrim down the outside, but it's going to be too late. Chestar on the speed dominated, and Chestar beats the fast finishing Rohirrim. Hard Conquer third.
Righto, Adrian Bott, very bullish about what Chestar has done and will do, but the big story, Raymond, coming out of this was Rohirrim. The run of Rohirrim, the ride of Josh Parr, the links from his manager, who is also a racing tipster, who tipped Chestar. It's murky.
Doesn't look good. Perception's everything, isn't
absolutely.
It?
Absolutely.
A couple of things I'd like to say, though. Was ridden in exactly the same manner as its previous start, albeit over 1,200 metres in a slightly smaller field.
Right.
I could sense
1,200 metres a horse wins. Rohirrim wins.
Correct.
Yeah.
I could sense what Josh Parr was thinking mid-race, because they were, regardless of what people were saying, they were flying up front.
Right.
They ran a very fast time for 1,100 metres. Chestar kept going. He might just be a very good horse.
Right.
Now, Rohirrim has come home in 32.35.
Flying.
That is an elite 600 metre sectional.
Yep.
So he's run better than he did at his previous start. Could Josh Parr have got the horse closer early in the race? That's probably the key. But he was riding to instructions, riding in the same manner as last start. So
James Cummings backed up everything he said in the under questioning.
Look how he rode the horse at his previous start, exactly the same way.
And so you're happy to take it at face value and say, you know what, just a little bit of a timing issue.
And I think Chestar's a pretty good horse.
Okay, all right.
But the stewards are inquiring, as they should.
Yes.
They need to ask those questions, because perception is everything. On to race 4, terrific training performance by Kim Waugh. First up, Our Century.
Reddick Siphon really rolling around the bend. Josh Parr gives him a bit more rein, and Reddick Siphon gets two lengths clear. Tester Shadow under pressure. Our Sentry goes to second. Then Naval Warfare running on well. Reddick Siphon to the 200. Our Sentry getting on terms in Naval Warfare. Abdon's putting in with the lightweight. Our Sentry takes the lead at the 100. Our Sentry from Abdon the outside. Our Sentry in front from Abdon. Our Sentry clings on. Our Sentry first run back from the break. Our Sentry clung on to beat Abdon. Naval Warfare third.
Yeah, we're going to speak to Kim Moore a little bit later, but that was a good one, a good win there for our Sentry. And first up in the Australian Bloodstock colours too. So Kim now doing some training for Jamie and Luke. So and looks like our Sentry is a horse to follow, right?
Summer Cups coming up.
Yep.
Christmas Cups, the Tats Cups, the Summer Cups, etc. All within that horse's scope. On to race five. This was almost right of the day stuff. Tommy Berry on first hand.
Tougher than the rest is laying out, coming around the turn. Then first hand, My Nordic Hero scrubbed up. Dagny's next into the straight. Oxford Poet is the leader. Passage of Time is laying it down now. And Passage of Time goes to a very narrow lead here at the 250 from Oxford Poet. First hand is getting a split. Then My Nordic Hero in the orange jacket. First hand charged through the centre. Takes the lead from My Nordic Hero. And first hand after the better getaway. Too good today. First hand beats My Nordic Hero. I think Snippets Land Grab.
Well, at the 300, he was gone. Mm. At the 300, he couldn't get a run. And I thought, if you're back first hand, you'd have been tearing up your ticket. It somehow pushed.
Lovely ride.
Momentum, got into a space, and then a horse was too good. But and needed to, too, because, as we said, wife Sharni, part owner.
You think you wouldn't have been welcome home for dinner?
Oh, no. Wow.
Horse one to highlight was coming out of race eight. I think this is the best horse that we saw race at Rose Hill yesterday, potentially, and that's also including Chester and Roheran. She's a mare called Seasons, trained by Les Bridge. Can't he find a good horse?
To the straight, and Hysterical the leader, but Seasons has been cuddled down to the 300 metres, and Seasons moves up now to take the lead away from Hysterical, then Lead Me Astray and further back to Nicky's Gold, getting a split. Seasons races clear now inside the 150. Nicky's Gold going to second, Deft up to third, but Seasons way too good. Seasons goes on to beat Nicky's Gold, Deft in third, followed by Hysterical.
Ended up being $1.80. Some got on a little earlier after a tip from their mate, so happy about that. Well done to the punters. Yes, well done, the Punters Club. Seasons there.
Doubled your money there.
Les Bridge in the famous colours of the South Sydney Rabbitohs. What will be the future for Seasons?
Yeah, look, I wasn't at Rose Hill yesterday, but listening to what Les said to the boys to Greg Bradley on Sky Thoroughbred Central, probably one or two more runs, maximum this prep, then back to the paddock and bring her back late autumn into the winter. She's fantastic on wet tracks. So likelihood is come Brisbane, she'll get wet tracks. Still 6 months away from physically developing, so she's got a lot of ahead of her. She's just a class act and a really promising mare.
Just before, and so you would have been watching it, and you would have been rarely watching a Saturday race meeting, right? Because you're always out there. Mm. And I said it to Lizzie Jelfs last week, and I mean it. Mm. I absolutely love their coverage of the races.
It's brilliant.
Radley, Duffercy, Jelfs.
A-team. I was saying to Tanya yesterday, the three of them are fantastic.
Aren't
together.
They great?
And Lizzie's insight into horses is unquestionably brilliant. And Duff is just the great tipster that he is. It is fantastic watching. And that's probably why you don't get crowds, because the service at home on 528 is so good.
Complete absence of egos in there.
They work as a team.
I'm not saying they don't have an ego. All I'm saying is that they put them to one side for the betterment of the program.
They work as a team.
It's fantastic.
It's great watching.
I love it.
The Melbourne Spring Carnival finished yesterday with a big meeting at Sandown. A couple of terrific efforts. This one from Ringer Ding Ding. He's been a late bloomer this spring. Darren Ware's got a pretty good horse here.
At the 400, Scottish Rogue with a kick with Seabrook. Then Longleaf, Secret Blaze, and Ringer Ding Ding is launching down the outside now. Seabrook just in front with Longleaf, Scottish Rogue. Ringer Ding Ding is winding up from predecessor. Seabrook at the 100, Longleaf. Ringer Ding Ding coming at Seabrook. Ringer Ding Ding over the top. The Sandown King today. Ringer Ding Ding won it from Seabrook and Longleaf.
Ringer Ding Ding, the Sandown King. Matty Hill on fire. You mentioned Darren Weir, John Allen, another win for that combination. Outstanding. What would they be looking at for Ding Ding?
Australian Guineas in the autumn.
Okay.
He's a promising horse, and he's won the Carbine Club Sandown Guineas Double late in the carnival, and that's generally the sign of a good horse. And he's got that booming finish, hasn't he, Jim? You know he's coming late, and he just flashes home. Promising horse. Team Williams have made the Zipping Classic their own in the last 10, 15 years.
Who was the horse that won it four times?
Zipping.
Can we cut that out in the end?
That's one of your
best. Can we cut that out in the end?
I reckon panel operator Amy has already got it for Twitter feed, I reckon. Hey, the Taj Mahal for Team Williams goes back to back in the Zipping Classic.
It's the Taj Mahal and Del Harold, stride for stride. Two further back, Lord Fandango and Al Libretto. It's the Taj Mahal and Del Harold. They're stride for stride at the 150. The Taj Mahal just in front. Del Harold won't give in, but the Taj Mahal looking to go back to back. It's a bobbing finish. Del Harold comes back. Photo finish, the Taj Mahal or Del Harold. It's a head bobber. Then came fighting out third, Al Libretto, Lord Fandango.
Tell you what, was a long overdue decision, Ray.
Yeah.
Working out the name of the horse that won the Zipping Classic four times.
That was brilliant.
The Taj Mahal.
Goes back to back in the Zipping Classic.
Yeah, just got there too, by the way. Al Libretto was what the punters club was on, but no joy there. But anyway. That's racing.
You're happy with that, aren't you?
Yeah, very happy.
7:35. Are we on time? We'll just
we're a little bit late.
Producer Steve sort of...
Morning views. Boys, long overdue decision. How about Usain Bolt's decision not to get his ambitions mixed up with his qualifications? Cheers, Manly Man Al. It didn't take long. Morning, Ray and Jimmy. Long overdue decisions would have to include Jeff Fenwick and Bernard Tomic retiring. Vicky from Port Macquarie. So, there we go.
This one's from Yankee, long overdue, when Muhammad Ali was released from jail and allowed to fight again. After how long was he in jail for? 18 months? Did he actually go to jail?
I don't think he was in jail.
He didn't go to jail, did he?
He was a conscientious objector.
Yeah, he almost went to jail.
Yeah.
He didn't fight in Vietnam.
Yeah, yeah.
And Anthony Mundine's last fight. This will be it. Ben Horn.
This will be it.
Friday week. Ben Horn.
Hang on.
Poor old Benny Horn.
Now the cricket writer for the Daily Telegraph is going to fight Anthony Mundine.
Poor old Benny Horn. We have apoplexy now. Guy's working hard enough as it is with the cricket.
All I can say is expect some more negative coverage for Anthony Mundine in the Daily Telegraph. That's all I'm going to say.
This is from Paramount. Jimmy, I gave you a strategy last week to avoid a star is boring.
Yeah.
This week, long overdue decision, Tracy takes you out to the movie of your choice, Bohemian Rhapsody. You won't regret it, Paramount. He's 100% right.
Right. He is right, however.
Go and see it, Jim.
Yeah. Long overdue decisions in sport. Javed Miandad being given out LBW in Pakistan.
Don't forget. So pity. Did he ever get out LBW in Pakistan?
I think it was like once. Can we put out on our social media it was three balls that Glenn McGrath bowled at Inzamam Al-Haq in a test match.
Oh, it was plum every time, wasn't it?
It was plum out LBW. The first one was plum. The first one was plum. The second one was more plum. And then the next ball got stroked through the covers for a beautiful four. Glenn McGrath gets his hat from the umpire. He's throwing it on the ground. Mark Taylor has to come on and basically hug him.
Yeah, I remember. It's on YouTube. It's fantastic.
Oh, it's horrible decisions. Anyway, that's the type of thing. Don from Carlton.
He's back.
Finally makes an introduction. There we go. All right, we'll take a break here. But that's the type of thing we're looking for today. Long overdue decisions in sport. And by the way, we've got a big sports breakfast cap.
Yes.
And a double pass, courtesy of the team at Event Cinemas, a double pass to give away to the best contribution, Don from Carlton. Hard to beat.
The biggest cowboy Christmas ever is now on at K Ranch Arena near Camden. Whatever you do, don't miss the spectacular Extreme Bulls Finals this Saturday and Sunday. See Australia's elite bull riders battle it out on the baddest, meanest one-ton athletes in their quest to take home the gold buckle. Two big shows, Saturday at 6 p.m. and Sunday at 2 p.m. full of thrills and spills like you've never seen before. Tickets from $30. Save by booking online at kranch.com.au.
Punters, we bet you can't find a better betting app than the Tab app. With more live Sky Racing than any other app, exclusive race previews and the biggest range of race replays on offer, you have everything you need to give you the best betting experience all in the palm of your hand. Plus, enjoy access to detailed form, cutting-edge data and expert analysis.
analysis from the best in the business. Download the TAB app today and stay ahead of the game. TAB. Terms and conditions apply. See tab.com.au. Gamble responsibly. All roads lead to Richmond. Sunday, November 25 for the 2018 Richmond Riches Puppy Auction. From 9 a.m, 175 lots will go under the hammer, including pups by Fernando Bale, Dyna Double One and Fabregas. There's a puppy for all budgets. Or buy into one with million-dollar Chase Trifecta trainers Peter Lagogiani, Adam Crouch or Vic Sultana. Contact Richmond Race Club on 0245 782 136 or download a catalogue at richmondgreyhounds.com.au.
The fixer's coming through on the lane. The fixer is going to win the New Zealand Cup of Nose. The fixer has beaten Tiger Tara.
On Sky Sports Radio, you're tuned to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
And welcome back to the show. And before we go to Kim Moore, Jim, this is a really good contribution on the SMS from Bryce. Morning, gents. No one-day international cricket live on free-to-air television. Mm. What a joke. Not everyone has pay TV and or live streams, as Channel 7 wants you to do. A punch in the face for the Aussie battler from Cricket Australia and Channel 7. The average Joe is not happy. The sad thing is Cricket Australia has no idea that tens of thousands of kids are disappointed and missing out. Idiots. Love the show, Bryce.
All right, so here's what I have to say about that, knowing that I'm an employee or a contractor with Fox Sports, with Fox League, okay? So that's a conflict of interest, so you've got to put that on the table and make people know that.
Well, Fox are only doing what's best for them.
Absolutely. I totally agree with that, Bryce. I cannot believe that Channel 7 and or Cricket Australia would allow the first internationals of the summer with a brand new broadcast deal. A brand new free-to-air partner, not broadcast those games on free-to-air.
You need to get some momentum going.
Of course
you
do. You
know?
Of course you do. And this is the issue when executives at sporting administrations have KPIs written into their contract that revolve around money as opposed to eyeballs.
So true.
So Ben Amafio and James Sutherland, who have walked out of the mess or been walked out of the mess at Cricket Australia, and they got their big bonuses for signing up a $1 billion broadcast deal. And that's
what
we get.
Didn't this happen in England? A generation of cricketers didn't know who Alastair Cook was.
Alastair Cook did not score a run on free-to-air cricket in Test cricket in England.
It's disappointing. Yeah.
So
anyway,
there you go.
We'll move on from that. We had our little soapbox there. Yeah. What wasn't disappointing yesterday was our century. First up from a break, great training performance by Kim Waugh to win at Rose Hill yesterday. He's in for a very good summer. Kim's on the line. Been good enough to join us this morning. Kim, good morning and congratulations with our century, because he was first up yesterday against some tough seasoned in-form middle distance horses and he was too good for them.
Yeah, good morning, guys. Yeah, it was great. It was a big thrill. You know, he's a really nice horse, and I thought he'd be really hard to beat yesterday. I knew he wasn't 100% fit, but I couldn't have been happier with him going into that run. So, you know, as it turned out, he was good enough. So it was a very pleasing result for all of us.
If he's not quite 100% fit, that must bode well for the upcoming Summer Cups that Ray was talking about, that we think that our century will be aimed at, Kim.
Yeah, definitely. There's some nice races over the Christmas period, Summer Cup, Christmas Cup. At the moment, we'll just be looking sort of to head in towards those, and then we'll weigh up what we want to do with him, whether give him a little break and maybe bring him back for, you know, maybe Sydney Cup or something like that. But got lots of choices, so that's the best part.
And he can stay, can't he, Kim? So when he gets to those major cups, like the Summer Cup at 2,400 metres, or the Tats Cup, sorry, 2,400 metres, and the Gosford Cup even in January, all right up his alley.
For sure. And, you know, he's a tough horse, and he's got very clean-winded, and he's a genuine stayer. He's your real typical stayer. And over those distances, he's got a really nice turn of foot too, which is a nice bonus. Because a lot of those old stayers are just one batter.
Grinders, yeah.
He has got a really nice turn of foot.
Mate of mine, Frankie Lawler, I see in the list of owners there, Kim, which is great, and I think he's had a number of horses with you. But Australian Bloodstock, the colours there. Is this your first one for Australian Bloodstock?
Yes. We actually bought our century off Lloyd Williams, and Australian Bloodstock rang and asked if they could buy into him. So it was very nice. It's first horse for them, and hopefully not the last. We've had some nice results for them, so never know.
Well, I was going to say, it usually flows the other way, doesn't it? But that's a good sign, and it might lead to things in the future, as you mentioned.
Yeah, definitely. Like, they're good guys to deal with, and good group of people that are in the Australian Bloodstock Syndication with our Century. So, you know, it's been a really good result for everyone who wasn't here. And, you know, so we've had a really good result with him.
Yeah, no, he's a
couple
horse.
Of good results now.
He won a Lord Mayor's Cup too, so he's a horse we can follow with confidence into the summer. The Mayor News fan, I know she was beaten, Kim, but, gee, she's brave, isn't she?
Yeah. You know, I was worried. She drew a really tricky barrier, and all the horses inside of her were the speed horses. And I was really worried what, you know, how it was going to pan out. I was hoping there was a lot more pace than what there was. There just was never any genuine pace in the race, and it went so steady the whole way, and it was a real sprint home, and she never really got clear till well into the straight. But, look, I was still very pleased with the way she went. It was a gutsy effort. And, you know, she's a really lovely girl. She's got a great record. Nellie, you know, she's most probably should have a couple more ones next to her name, but I'm sure that'll all come.
Can you give us an insight into the first things you were saying to Sam Weatherly when he came back on the horse? Were you okay with the ride?
Yeah, it wasn't Sam's fault. He did exactly as I asked. I said, let the speed go and just try and tuck him behind. He did that.
Yeah.
And but the speed didn't sort of, the speed wasn't the speed that we were expecting. It was very slow, which made it very hard.
Yeah.
But, you know, he did everything he could. He couldn't sort of get to the outside, so he switched back to the inside and had to sort of weed through a couple of horses, which was costly, but not his fault. He's a very good rider, Sam. I like him a lot.
Yeah, and he did a good job. That mare did a great job, and she's one to follow. Hey, Kim, I think you're off to New Zealand today, so we better not hold you up. We've caught you on the run. Really appreciate it. Congratulations with the win of our Century and the second of News Fan. I think they're horses to follow with confidence over summer.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Ray. Thanks, Jimmy.
Thanks,
Talk
Kim.
To you soon.
Good on you, Kim. Thank you.
Bye.
Kim Wall there. A couple of good runners yesterday. Our Century and News Fan. The win for Our Century. News Fan second, but a good run. 13:53:53, the open line number. Morning, boys. Overdue decisions. Des Hasler leaving the Dogs. And Adrian not supporting them. That's from Magic Mike. Rooster Mick from Goulburn obviously missed the start of the program. Jimmy and Ray, long overdue sporting decisions. Finally. Norm Proven being named as an immortal. Long overdue.
I like that one.
Yeah.
And I like this one from Jason from Windsor. A long overdue decision that no one wants to make since the 2005 Ashes series. We have never had an all-rounder at the level of Andrew Flintoff. Please stop looking. Play six batsmen.
Not a bad call. Not a bad call. Hands down, the longest overdue decision in sport was Cameron Smith finally getting sin-binned in an NRL game. Mitch from Canberra. Very well said. Anthony's on the line. Let's have a chat with him. Hello, Anthony.
Good morning, listen. Before I start, Ray, no temptation to put Tiaku Shark in your race replay?
Gee, it was a win yesterday, wasn't it, for Paul Gallen's horse? That's the one you mean, Anthony?
Yeah.
No, he's a lovely horse. He's got a...
Broke 32 with Helen's chest.
He's got a booming finish, hasn't he? He's been talked about as potential Doncaster horse next autumn, so...
Yeah, Tony Bussell gave a big rap, too, on the TV.
Oh, that's all the endorsement you need from the great TV.
Look, I want to make the argument against Timmy Cahill, but firstly, not long overdue decision in sport. Can I say that it hasn't happened yet? Ray Thomas in the Racing Hall of Fame for carrying this promotion of Sydney Racing every year.
funny you mention that, because I suggested editor of the...
That won't be happening either.
But anyway, all right, okay.
Neither, no.
We've both been shot down, Anthony. So there we go.
You don't have to put Ray Thomas' name before every article. Just put the back of the sport pages, Ray Thomas, and then let the five pages go through.
Sadly, Anthony, there'll be a few people lining up to do something different than Hall of Fame, but that's what I appreciate.
Anthony, he's a Hall of Fame judger, so knowing Ray as we do, he would... he'd say, look, I have to extract myself from this situation. There's a conflict of interest. But
that won't be happening anyway.
Yeah.
This is not to say that he's not a great footballer. He is. Okay? So let's not. It's not either or. But, I made this argument before, Jimmy. Can you be Australia's best ever footballer if, one, you won't make the starting 11 of Australia's best ever team, and you played mostly in national caps off the bench, so, two, you mostly didn't make the starting 11 in your own time?
Who are we talking
good
about?
Timmy Cahill. Timmy Cahill. Good point, yeah. He played a lot off the bench.
Yeah, but they weren't his decisions. Like
he made an impact almost every time he came on.
When Bert van Marwijk was playing him off the bench, everyone was, well, actually not playing him off the bench. Everyone was saying, "Well, hang on." And I know that's back end of his career, but undoubtedly, he has had the biggest impact on.
Well, ask the great man Phil Moss when he comes in.
On Australian football at the international level,
Good call
level.
From Anthony, though.
Not bad. G'day, Rod.
I've got two of them, Jimmy.
Here we go.
First one, Pat Howard.
Good call.
Long name of you, Jimmy. He's absolutely wrecked Australian cricket right to the bone.
Rod might be
Yeah.
Pat Howard, okay. Well, that's a very strong start,
You won't
better
trump
Rod.
That one, Rod.
Yeah.
And my second one, well, Jimmy, the bloke who told you to retire, that was long overdue.
You're feeling fire today, Rod. Seriously.
There you go, Rod.
And one to come.
Oh, here we go.
Paul Gallen, Jesus Christ, he's long overdue. He should have retired years ago.
He's your man. He's your man, Rod.
I saw Gal on Friday night at the De La Salle Carring Bar presentation night. He's there. He's all set to go. He's not training as much
my
in the lead-up to Christmas.
That was my old club, Jimmy.
De La?
Yeah.
There we go. We had the presentation night on Friday night.
Good club, that one.
Yeah, great club. Fantastic.
Well, guys,
good on you, Rod. I agree with your first one. Not sure about your second one. Probably right. 1353-53, the upper line number. We'll take a break. Just on that, in the 76th minute of this test match being played, it's really the two best sides in the world. Ireland up against the All Blacks, and Ireland 16 lead the All Blacks 9. Ireland 16, All Blacks 9. Come on, the men in green. Hang on.
Mum, do you hear that beeping sound?
You left the fridge door open again.
Close. It's the sound of Bingley trucks loading new refrigerators ready for free delivery.
And free unpacking. We take away the packaging too.
And we'll take away your old fridge free.
It's a great deal.
Buy any new refrigerator right now from Bingley and you'll get free full service delivery.
You know when the beeping will stop, Lionel?
Yes, very soon. So be quick. See in store at bingley.com.au for details.
Got that sick feeling just thinking about how much money you owe? No money to enjoy life? If this sounds like you, then you should give Capital Debt Solutions a call for a confidential chat about combining your unsecured debts into just one weekly repayment tailored to your budget. That's a solution working for you. Focus on a debt-free future. You deserve it. Capital Debt Solutions. Solutions for your financial freedom. 1-300-107-155 or capitaldebtsolutions.com.au.
And now for the most exciting 2 minutes in sports.
The very best of U.S. racing 7 days a week.
Looking at Lee, can't catch, always dreaming, who's the 143rd winner of the Kentucky Derby.
Live and exclusive across the Sky Racing Network.
Be rewarded at Panthers with Panthers' new loyalty program, Panthers Rewards. There's never been a better time to be a member of the Panthers family. For only $5, Jimmy, members receive over $1,000 worth of rewards. Earn Panthers points every time you make a purchase and redeem your points throughout the club, including all restaurants and bars.
Revenue down last month. Could you put that
back up? I was there Thursday. If you're not already a Panthers member, join now for just $5 and be rewarded. If you are a member already, renew now. I did on Thursday night. Took 30 seconds, Jim. Details at panthers.com.au.
Here comes Tiakau Shark past the 200 metre mark, and he's gone straight on by Tiakau Shark. Oh, he's good. Boots and all, Rangi Po, Colonel Kev. But it's up Tiakau Shark, the boy in the tangerine and blue. And Tiakau Shark won it by 7. Beat Boots and all and Colonel Kev.
On Sky Sports Radio, you're tuned to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
Oh, who's the caller? Up, Tiakau Shark. Very good. Mark McNamara. The decision to change the corner post rule in rugby league. Greg from Petersham.
Good one.
Long overdue decisions. There's one. Let's go to Savo, who's on the line, before we get to Tommy Berry. G'day, Savo.
G'day, lads. First of all, Jim, what you said about the free-to-wear is exactly right. I used to watch the Premier League soccer every Monday night on SBS, and I used to know every player. Now I don't know any player playing in the Premier League, and it's just gone.
I understand
What you said, Jim. I'm proud of you.
Well, I understand the commercials of it from their point of view. However, you've got to think long term in these things.
Exactly.
Okay. Now, can I go on now?
Yes.
Yeah, go.
Right. Well, yesterday in the golf, there was a kid called McLeod hit a ball for a birdie and it landed right on the rim of the hole.
Yeah.
Okay, now it lingered there and he walked up and stood beside it and it fell in and the whole crowd cheered and he got a birdie.
Mm-hmm.
Then the rules official standing beside him, a lovely little lad, little bloke, had the pleasure of telling him that he spent longer than he should have, which is 10 seconds you're allowed to stand beside the ball before you do anything about it.
Yeah.
And he was penalised. He ended up having a par and was penalised a stroke. Now, if ever a rule needs to be changed, but I thought when a ball was moving, you couldn't go near it.
Mm.
35 seconds, apparently, it was there, Sava. 35 seconds, and I wasn't aware of the actual rule, exact ruling around that.
So when you get to the ball, you've got 10 seconds before
10 seconds, you have to mark it all, presuming you're on a green.
Yeah.
But if a ball has sat there for 35 seconds, I don't think it would be even be perceptible that it's reading, moving.
Mm. Yeah, it's tough, though, isn't it? Poor kids, he didn't do anything. The ball just dropped
stayed,
in.
You should have stayed away from it.
Yeah. What happens then?
I think you get... I remember seeing Sergio Garcia hit a ball up to a green and the ball stopped and it looked like it was going to... You know, there's a chance it was going to roll back down. He ran up. He ran up to mark his ball.
Hmm.
But he didn't stand next to it for 10 seconds. Anyway, that's a good call though, Sava,
yeah,
and we
like
do
it.
Appreciate it. Thank you for that.
And Tommy Berry's now also on the line. He's been good enough to join us after riding first-hand to victory at Rose Hill yesterday. Tom, good morning, and I think the pictures say it all. That win meant a lot to you, Tom.
Yeah, good morning, Ray, Jimmy. Yeah, it was a good win, and it did mean a bit to us. That, not only is Shani and Claire and a few other people in the horse, he has been a frustrating horse. He's got good ability that we haven't been able to see the best of him yet. I think today was a glimpse of what he can do.
Mm. So just to clear up, Shani, of course, is your wife. Claire is the wife of co-trainer Michael Hawke. So, well done.
The pressure was on.
Was there a wink and a nod between you two knowing that, look, obviously every race is important, but this one's just that little bit more important?
Oh, Michael said to me before the race, he said, mate, he said, this thing won't be getting beat today. If it gets beat, I won't be happy. But he says that pretty much on everything I ride, so I don't really take too much notice about that. But I remember when we bought into this horse at the sales, and Michael said, I think you should put Sean into this one. I said, well, I'm not putting Sean into anything unless you put yourself or Claire into it.
Oh, good thinking.
Yeah.
So I thought, if they put their hard earned on the table, then Sean can do the same. So it worked out well. He's been a good horse to us, and we've had a lot of fun along the way.
A bit of skin in the game. That's a good way to do it. From what I understand and reading all the press beforehand, the jump was so important. What are the manners like of first hand?
Yeah, look, he was a bit better yesterday. I think probably because he's had a couple of runs under his belt now. When he's fresh, he's very difficult to deal with in the barriers. But I wouldn't say he was perfect still. I think we just got him at the right time at the jump. And it is very crucial to him because if he does miss a kick and you ask him at all, he can pull quite hard where he jumped so well yesterday. I was able just to pull out over his neck and get him to switch off. And I think, that was the key to obviously him running out the 1,400. And he's always felt like 1,400 a mile will be his go, but he hasn't really given us the opportunity to get him that far. But, the team's done a great job with him. Brooke, who rides him work, and Scott Hughes, who used to ride him work before he left. They've both done a good job with his horse, as he's not an easy horse to deal with at home.
And Tom, there wasn't much of a gap there, was there, in the straight? Both horse and rider pretty brave to go through that gap.
Yeah, it was a little bit tight there, but as probably you heard Michael say after the race, when you got a horse that's going well and you're full of running, it's very easy to make them gaps seem a bit bigger, and it's a lot harder when you're on a horse that's not taking you into the race. So I was just lucky I was on the right horse in the day.
Exactly, yeah. Tom, capped off a good weekend. You had a winner at Canterbury Friday night. I don't know if we've had you on since you've been back in Sydney racing after that year in Hong Kong. You've hit the ground running again, Tom?
Yeah, look, I thought it'd take me sort of being in Hong Kong. Obviously, you play everything down a little bit, and I thought it'd take me 12 months to sort of get back into my groove and get the support back. But I've got to say, I worked really hard when I got home, and I rode plenty of track work and do the rounds. And I'm sitting third on the Sydney Premiership at the moment, which is not somewhere I expected to be after sort of 4 months back in Sydney. So I'm very pleased about that, and I'll keep working hard. And you know, the jockey's room in Sydney is the strongest in the world at the moment. So it's just good to be riding amongst good people, good friends, and have the family back here and enjoying life at home.
Yeah, not only riding, but winning as well, which you did yesterday, and even better, winning for the family. So it all worked out, Tommy. Well done, mate, and appreciate your time this morning.
Thank you very much, Jimmy and Ray. Take care, guys.
Thanks, Tom.
There he is, Tommy Berry, always good with his time, and good to have him back in Sydney racing. Yes, very competitive. 1353 53 is the open line number. We might get your tips up first, Roman, and because then we'll get the scratchings around New South Wales at this point. Okay, remember when the ball finally dropped on that last hole in Caddyshack? How long did that take, Herb? Masterpiece, that movie.
Took forever. It's right. One of the great movies, I guess. This is from Steve. Can't wait till this year's quiz ends. It was all over months ago. Ray, just give Jimmy the beer now. Three cartons, isn't it?
Yeah, well said, Steve.
Okay.
Just trying to work out what I'll get. Maybe I'll get one of
you haven't just, you
one,
haven't
two,
told
three.
Me,
some, three
well,
different ones.
I haven't checked the scratching, so when Tanya comes in, we'll just make sure these horses aren't scratched. But just tips for Newcastle today. Race 4, number 6, City of Love. We should have asked Kim about that.
Yeah.
Very hard to beat. And then down to the last, race 8, number 9, Bid and Bear. So race 4, number 6, City of Love.
Yes.
Race 8, number 9, Bid and Bear. Big test for that horse in the last, but Kristen Buchanan's got that horse absolutely flying, Bid and Bear.
Okay. $4 favourite is the quote in today's tab form guide. And the City of Love is a $5 chance at this moment. Time now to say good morning for the first time to Tan with the scratchings at Newcastle.
Morning, folks. Yes, have to have a look at those scratchings where the weather is overcast. The track a good 4. The rail is out 6 metres the entire course, and there are 22 scratchings. Race 1, take out number 5, Kedar, number 5. Race 2, number 1, Deceptive Cover, and 3, Cash Factor, 1 and 3. Race 3, take out 5, Captain's Legend, number 5. Race 4, number 4, Black Sunrise, 5, Walkinshaw, 8, Kafka, and 11, Southern Romance, 4, 5, 8, and 11. Race 5, number 1, Baron Bold, 5, Strike the Gates, 12, Mimic, and 13, River Bird, 1, 5, 12, and 13. Race 6, number 1, Jazzland, 3, Concave, 4, Ocean Dash, and 9, Finucane Missile, 1, 3, 4, and 9. Race 7, number 7, Neruda, and 10, Hermosa Reward, 7 and 10. And race 8, number 4, Single Story, 7, Oxford Angel, 12, Profiler, and 13, Zavance. 4, 7, 12, and 13 from race 8 at Newcastle. And quickly, I'll just have a quick look at Canberra. The weather is fine, the track a good 4, the rail is true, and there are 12 scratchings. Race 1, take out 3, Shen Jui, and 5, High Street. 3 and 5. Race 2 is clear. Race 3, number 6, On a Roll, and 9, Bear Esteem, 6 and 9. Race 4, number 2, Caccini, 5, Lady Tycoon, 8, Sweet Temptations, and 10, Sergeant Sam, 2, 5, 8, and 10. Race 5 is clear. Race 6, number 10, Tyres Are Crucial, and 14, Call the Clock, 10 and 14 from race 6. And race 7, take out 5. I haven't had a chance to look at these, and I knew there'd be one that I just wouldn't have a chance.
Have a go at it.
Good Radijavi. Number 5 out of race 7, folks.
Okay.
Put a line through it. And number 11 with Thorn. 5 and 11 from race 7 at Canberra.
Well done, Tan. We've got race tips. We'll put them out on social media as well. We'll get to the news now. After the news, Zorba with all his thoughts in the world of rugby league. And Michael Hawks, a winner yesterday. Actually, 2. First hand and Noshio.
I'm Sarah Warmby. The United States will join Australia in expanding a deep water naval base on Manus Island into a key staging point into Asia. At an Asia-Pacific Economic Cooperation meeting in Port Moresby yesterday, US Vice President Mike Pence said the base will be expanded to host Australian and US naval ships as part of a deal signed with Papua New Guinea.
It's my privilege to announce that the United States will partner with Papua New Guinea and Australia on their joint initiative at Lobram Naval Base on Manus Island.
Meantime, US President Donald Trump has toured the region of Northern California where the campfire has raged. As many as 1,000 remain missing as the death toll has climbed to at least 71 and more fatalities are expected. A US correspondent, Priscilla Huff, reports.
In a rare show of bipartisanship, U.S. President Donald Trump toured the California wildfire disaster zone with the incoming and outgoing governors of the state, both Democrats. The White House is trying to underscore the president's empathy, saying he's got broad shoulders for the survivors to lean upon. But he's found it easier to call the firefighters brave and courageous, while trying to blame the state government for poor management. It's not just the flames that are a problem, even as the fires are slowly brought under control. San Francisco currently has the world's worst air quality due to the smoke and ash. Priscilla Huff, Washington.
Back home, Melbourne's homeless hero trolley man has avoided custody after facing burglary charges. 46-year-old Michael Rogers appeared at Melbourne Magistrates Court where he was bailed on the strict condition that he stay away from the CBD inside at night and report daily to police. It's been a big week for the homeless man who bravely stepped in harm's way with a shopping cart to fend off IS-inspired Hassan Khalid Shire Ali, then received donations of more than $155,000. Rogers' case will return to court on November 27. A man allegedly drink-driving erratically with a child in the car has been charged in Sydney's West. Police were called after a car was spotted moving erratically at Abbotsbury just before 11 yesterday morning. A 5-year-old boy and 28-year-old woman were passengers in the car. The 31-year-old driver was charged with high-range PCA. His driver's license was suspended and he was ordered to face Fairfield Local Court on December 10. New research shows Aussie teens are still seeking a suntan despite the significant risk to their health. Nearly 4 in 10 Australian teenagers say they like to get a tan, and more than 6 in 10 believe their friends think a tan is also a good thing. Professor Sanchi Aranda from the Cancer Council says that she's concerned the message isn't getting through.
The reality is there's nothing healthy about a tan. Tanning is a sign that you've been exposed to too much UV radiation and that you've damaged your skin. This damage increases not only the risk of skin cancer, but it can also cause premature ageing and discoloration of the skin.
And in Western Australia today, there is a total fire ban for the Pilbara region, including Ashburton, East Pilbara, Karratha and Port Hedland. This is AIR News. Australia have eased the pressure on coach Michael Checker for now with a hard-fought 26-7 win over Italy. Under fire following last week's meek attacking display in the 9-6 defeat to Wales, the Wallabies ran in 4 tries to seal an 18th successive victory. However, the win may have come at a cost with David Pocock leaving the field early in the second half with a concussion that could potentially rule him out of next week's clash with England at Twickenham. Roger Federer will end the year tantalising short of his 100th career title after the King of Men's Tennis was forced to bow to young Prince Alexander Zverev at the ATP Finals. The 37-year-old Federer, whose 99 titles are second only to the 109 of Jimmy Connors, began the first semi-final as favourite, but it was German Zverev who revelled in the big match atmosphere at a packed arena to win 7-5, 7-6, 7-5. The Hockey Roos have started the 2018 Champions Trophy successfully with a dog 2-1 win over reigning champions Argentina in China yesterday. Rosie Malone scored twice in a 3-minute burst late in the first quarter for Australia, who had to withstand a barrage of second-half pressure to hang on for the points. And Sebastian Ogier is on track to win a 6th straight World Rally Championship when Rally Australia concludes in Coffs Harbour today. Australian Independent Radio News.
Don't whinge and whine about the traffic. Think of the wine you have at home. A glass of Windy Peak Chardonnay. By De Bortoli, of course. Here's the traffic.
Celebrity Cruises last-minute luxury sale is on. Experience New Zealand on the award-winning Celebrity Solstice. 14 nights from $17.99. Limited time only. Conditions apply. In Wetherill Park, we've got lights out on Victoria Street at Elizabeth Street due to a power failure. In Surrey Hills, look out for changed traffic conditions on Chalmers Street between Cleveland and Devonshire Streets. They're doing track work there. And at East Lakes, roads around the Lakes Golf Club will be affected again today by the Australian Open. Your brand new Bunnings Warehouse Northmead is now open. You'll find a great range for all kinds of DIY and home improvement projects. Check it out at 1C Redbank Road, Northmead. I'm Solomon Gates, number one in racing on Sky Sports Radio.
Thinking about your next build or renovation? Wideline Windows and Doors has all the planning tools at your fingertips. Their website is full of inspirational ideas to make your project a success. Advice and tips to get you started, even a colour selector and window planning tool. Plus, free online quotes are returned in 48 business hours. Just upload your plans or tell them what you need. Easy. There's never been a better time to take a closer look at the Wideline Windows and Doors website. www.wideline.com.au.
Punters, we bet you. You can't find a better betting app than the Tab app. With more live Sky Racing than any other app, exclusive race previews and the biggest range of race replays on offer, you have everything you need to give you the best betting experience all in the palm of your hand. Plus, enjoy access to detailed form, cutting-edge data and expert analysis from the best in the business. Download the Tab app today and stay ahead of the game. Tab. Terms and conditions apply. See tab.com.au. Gamble responsibly.
The biggest cowboy Christmas ever is now on at K Ranch Arena near Camden. Whatever you do, don't miss the spectacular Extreme Bulls Finals this Saturday and Sunday. See Australia's elite bull riders battle it out on the baddest, meanest one-ton athlete in their quest to take home the gold buckle. Two big shows, Saturday at 6 p.m. and Sunday at 2 p.m. full of thrills and spills like you've never seen before. Tickets from $30. Save by booking online at kranch.com.au.
Sky Sports Radio, Sydney weather.
Sydney's weather, cloudy. There's a 40% chance of showers in the morning. I think they had a few of those already. Winds south to southeasterly, 15, 20 k's, tending east to southeasterly during the morning and early afternoon. Heading for a top temperature of 22 degrees in Sydney today. James, what's the current temperature at Narrabeen and the forecast for Newcastle?
Currently 18 at Narrabeen, maximum of 21 there. And at Newcastle, where they're racing today, shower or two, clearing in the afternoon, a maximum temperature of 22 degrees.
I am the culmination of generous moment after generous moment, kind moment after kind moment, and that is the glue that holds this country together.
On Sky Sports Radio, you're tuned to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
There is the great Kurt Fernley, and I know our next guest, Zorba, is a massive fan of Kurt Fernley. I think we've had him on the program back when Zorba and I were hosting.
We should get Kurt Fernley on as a legend.
Well said, Roman. Well said. Big hour coming up. We've got Michael Hawkes very shortly. We'll have the Event Cinemas Quiz 2 score update.
It's game over, isn't it?
Of course it is.
Does it matter anymore?
No, I'm prepared to claim the victory right now.
Okay.
What I am not...
You haven't told me what beer choice it will be.
That's right. And that's the tough thing about it. They're the difficult decisions. Do I go a 2-and-1 combo? Do I go something different? Do I go 1, 2, 3? All different.
Yeah, I'm ready to purchase immediately.
Are you?
Yeah.
Well, you're flush with cash after the Melbourne trip, did you?
Sadly not.
Right.
That's the sort of bloke I am. And I'm prepared to bring them in next Sunday if you make a decision, James.
Well, hang on. Next Sunday, actually, yeah, we're doing Thanksgiving, so that timing might be perfect.
Okay.
Yeah. Can you get some wine as well? Anyway, we'll sort that out, Raven. Mystery voice competition. By the way, 26 points to 19.
Yeah.
Mystery voice competition as well. We'll have a little tease on that, and we'll speak to Phil Moss. 1-1 Australia and South Korea last night. Talking league. There's still a lot of news coming through with the world of rugby league. Our man is Peter Peters, and Zorb's on the line right now. G'day, Zorb.
Morning, Ray. Morning, Jimmy.
Morning, Pete.
Plenty happening this week, hasn't there, again, in rugby league. It never stops. But Trent Merrin, after all, is going to the Leeds Rhinos. And Josh Maguire, a bit of a shock there, long-term deal with the Cowboys.
Mm. I mentioned it earlier, Zorb. How does it happen that the players or their agents can't talk to clubs, supposedly, until they're a year out from the end of their deal, but the clubs can talk to clubs about moving players on?
Yeah, it doesn't seem right, does it? And obviously the Broncos made it clear that they would let Maguire go. Maguire's management knew that. They gave him the heads up, and the Cowboys took the bait. They're going to have a fair side. I mean, they've signed Ben Barber at St Helens, and of course he's coming back to the NRL. They've signed Josh Maguire. They've signed Nene McDonald from St George. They're going to have Michael Morgan back fit and well. And they've got a rising young superstar in Jake Clifford to join the likes of Tamalolo and the rest of them there. They're going to be a top side. They won't be coming where they came this year, next season. I can bet my bottom dollar on that.
Hey, so I'm just back to that issue that Jimmy raised. I know he had some of his thoughts earlier in the program. In an ideal world, what's the answer? Re club movements of players and indeed coaches as well?
Look, I don't think you're ever going to stop the coaches moving around, and no. I don't believe we should either. I mean, you know, they're not under the NRL rules in terms of contracts. At least at this stage they're not, and I can't see them going down that path. I don't have an issue with it. It doesn't happen all that often. This year we've seen a lot of movement, but I don't think that anybody's going to be the poorer for it. I quite think it's intriguing. I can't wait to see Wayne Bennett at, under the spotlight of the Sydney media, rather than having the cushy one city arrangement that he's had at the Brisbane Broncos for so many years. I mean, we saw him at St George, and he changed his ways to fit in with Sydney a fair bit. I think he's going to have to change a whole lot more when he goes to the Rabbitohs.
Well, we saw him at Newcastle, where he didn't fit in with the local press at all, and that was a feature of his time there. How disconnected he was with the Newcastle media.
Jimmy and Pete.
Yeah, well, he'll get absolutely hammered in Sydney if he takes that attitude.
Mm. But Pete and Jimmy, question to both of you. Any update on the Seibold Bennett situation?
I understand that something will happen this week. It's untenable the way it is. Looks like the Broncos are prepared to pay out Wayne Bennett to move, and they want Seibold there as quickly as possible. Souths want Seibold out as quickly as possible. So it'll happen this week.
Wednesday was the day I heard, and you're quite right around the a bit of money going Wayne's way, and the fact that Anthony Seibold was asked about the Josh Maguire trade rather than Wayne Bennett, I think, is significant as well. I tell you what, it's motivated our talk topic today, overdue decisions in sport. Tony Archer, it's one of the first things that Graeme Annesley has done. He's gone in there and moved very swiftly, and I think it's an obvious one, Zor. How do you see it?
Well, I think the shake-up in the referees' ranks is huge.
Yeah.
And it's not before time. Graeme Annesley, and people forget that he was a top referee. He refereed Origin.
Yes.
And a long time in the NRL. He's now in charge of the performance of referees. Now, Tony Archer has been speared, and Bernard Sutton now answers directly to Annesley. Interesting time for the referees. Maybe the 2019 season will finally have a female referee with either Casey Badger or Belinda Sleeman stepping up into that role. And it's incredible. I read during the week where Casey Badger is having a rib removed.
Yeah.
It's been causing her a lot of pain. She's happy to go through with what looks like being a three-hour operation just to achieve a goal in rugby league. Well, I think that sort of determination deserves a reward, and she's certainly good enough. The NRL have gone ahead in leaps and bounds in women in the game, particularly participating now in a top flight competition. But I think we need to go the whole way. The NRL, and I think Graeme Annesley is the man that is going to do that. And I think it's time to take the next step. And I also like the fact that for some time now, I've thought that the NRL have been really aloof when it comes to the media. Now, the media are a massive part of the game. Where the NRL tries to shun the media, other sports would love the media microscope that NRL attracts. Now, introducing a Monday all-in media session, I think it's long overdue. I think the people in charge of media at the NRL and other people that tip to the CEO, they should hang their heads in shame for not bringing this in a long time ago. Monday morning, the media all in. They get a chance to talk about the weekend. They can ask the hierarchy of the league what is going on in certain areas, and it gets a lot of things out of the way first day of the week after the competition. I think it's a great move, and congratulations to Graeme Annesley for instigating it. He's been a CEO for the last few years at the Titans, and obviously seen some things happen that he doesn't like in the game, and I think this is a fantastic step forward and a great start to his return to the NRL.
Yeah, and Graeme Annesley is the sort of guy who instills confidence, doesn't he? But I can see, Jimmy, you got
some
questions.
Well, the only thing is that it's hard to placate, in the words of the great Warren Ryan, it's hard to placate those people who are determined to be outraged.
Yeah, but being what Zorba's saying is right, being upfront and transparent.
Well, let's wait till there's a stress test.
Well, it's got to be stress tested. It'll come early
it'll
on.
Happen.
We know that.
Well, yeah, round one. Yeah.
Yeah, it'll come. It'll come before round one. I mean, it's coming now with a Jared Hayne issue.
Yeah,
that's a good point.
Well, on that Zorb, I know there's a police investigation underway and there's a presumption of innocence here as well, so
yes.
It's not a good situation for either party. But the secondary element we were talking about earlier, what does this potentially do now to Jared Haynes' rugby league career, Zorb?
Well, I think it could be over.
Mm.
The reasons why. Now, I've seen a lot of similar allegations over the years, not many end in a prosecution. The stats say that, and there's just a whole lot of players that have been alleged to have done something that have been found not to be guilty when it's gone to a court of law. However, Jared doesn't have any time on his side on this occasion. He won't be re-signed while the allegations sit there, and that's not going to happen quickly because of the way courts are, if it goes that far. Now, the NRL Integrity Unit, they sent Karen Murphy, who is just outstanding in her role in the Integrity Unit, to the women's home in the Hunter Valley.
Mm.
And she immediately referred the issue after interviewing the woman to police. Now, that's where it sits at the moment.
Mm.
And because of that, and because there's been no charges laid, and because it's all speculation at the moment and allegations, it could go on for a long time. And as I said earlier, Hayne hasn't got a long time. Clubs aren't going to sign him until this issue is settled one way or the other. And I think that's all over Red Rover for Jared Hayne. He's still got the 2015 case in San Francisco yet to be heard in an American court.
Yeah.
So I don't think we'll see the Hayne playing rugby league anytime soon.
Well, the best chance for Jared Hayne was to get extremely fit, have a massive off-season or massive pre-season, which is he hasn't done in the past, and that's been pretty well documented, and now this is going to make it even harder. And I'm talking purely from a football point of view. What about fathers and sons together? We're all looking forward to Cleary and Cleary. What are your thoughts on that, Zorb?
Oh, look, I think it's fraught with danger. Look, Nathan turned 21 this week, and he'll finally be coached in the NRL by his father, Nathan. It's a rarity in rugby league at the elite level. I can only think of Johnny Lang and Martin Lang at Cronulla and Penrith.
Yes.
Bob Fulton and Scott Fulton at the Manly Seagulls. Mm. I struggle. Shane Flanagan and son Kyle probably this coming season will face the same situation as Nathan and Ivan at Penrith. But I don't know. It can change a dressing room very quickly. It can bring a different dynamic into the dressing room.
Yes.
You can imagine a player hearing his dad being bagged by his teammates over a coffee, and that happens. Nepotism raises its ugly head. It's not the fairy tale that everyone thinks it is, and stand by. I can see a lot of problems with it. I wouldn't like to be in that position, particularly as Nathan still lives at home, I understand. I mean, to wake up in the morning, go and have breakfast, your dad's there. Then you go to training, your dad's there. Then you go to video session, your dad's there. Then you go to the game at the weekend, your dad's there. I love my dad. I wish he was still around, but I don't want him to coach me in footy.
It's interesting, isn't it? But we'll see how it unfolds.
It is fascinating to see how it unfolds.
It is. It's not a normal situation.
No.
And look, there's great love between them. There's great respect between them. Nobody can deny that. They want to do it, but will it be what they want it to be? You know, losses bring certain amounts of pressure in football clubs. I just want to put a big question mark over it. I don't think it's a hunky-dory fairy tale that everyone thinks it could be.
Interesting take, Zorb. Hey, Zorb, just one quick one. Kalyn Ponga, I don't care where this kid plays, as long as he's got the football in his hands, but it looks like Nathan Brown might switch into the halves next year.
I think Nathan Brown's got to do something. I mean, whilst they were the side everyone could beat and down at the bottom and not having a lot of money, there was no real pressure on Nathan, and Brownie handled it pretty well. He was straight up and honest and upfront about it, but it's a different kettle of fish now. When you look at Newcastle, he's got to save his career as a coach now. The Knights have been patient in bad times with Brown, but under the new owners, West Newcastle, nothing short of a top eight will save Brownie next season, particularly as he's on a year-to-year contract at the moment.
Yes.
And they've brought in some gun players. They brought in Tim Glasby, Jesse Ramian, Edric Lee, Mason Leno as a backup to Mitchell Pearce, and David Clemmer's just around the corner, on top of the big raid on the Roosters last year with Mitchell Pearce and co coming to the club. They've had a massive overhaul, and nothing short of a top eight, maybe top six, will save Nathan Brown. So there's going to be pressure on from round one on Brownie, who's likeable. Everyone likes him as a coach, but he's got to get some results. He hasn't got them in the NRL.
10th in the line of betting to win the competition, the Newcastle Knights at $21. That's at tab.com.au. $4.50, the Roosters. To make the 8, they're $2.25.
$2.25 to make the 8.
Yeah, the Knights, $2.25 to make the 8. And what about this?
I'll make the 8.
What about this?
And that's the lay down there.
Dally M medalist for 2019. Favourite, Kalyn Ponga at $8.
Yeah, well, he's a young star. Superstar. Look, they're just going to be an outstanding side. You can see massive crowds in Newcastle.
Yep.
I drove through there the other day just on about an hour before kickoff in the A League, and they were coming from everywhere in their blue and red. I just think Newcastle's about to explode as a sporting capital again. Great ground, great support. Two good football codes to follow there. I think they're going to be a juggernaut come a year or two in the NRL. They're getting their junior league together well. They've got some outstanding juniors coming through as a result of the junior reps in recent years. And just stand by for Newcastle to really give the game a lift.
Yeah, we'll look forward to that. Good on you, Zorb. We'll speak again next week. There'll be something else going on in the world of rugby league.
There will be for sure, boys.
Yeah.
Bye.
See you, mate. There he is, Zorba, with his thoughts on that. James Tedesco, second favourite at $11.
Quick one. This is from No Name, Jimmy. Teddy Glossop and John Glossop at the Sharks.
Well, there you go. I didn't know that. We'll have to look that one up to confirm. 13:53:53. Just before we go to an ad break, we'll get some callers here. Mick's online. G'day, Mick.
Hey, fellas. How are you?
Yeah, good morning, Mick.
Just wondering, it's a long overdue, is Reuben Hurricane Carter.
Yeah, we've had a few texts about that. And what, in terms of recognition, Mick? Or?
Yeah, he received a honorary championship title belt and the Hall of Fame in New Jersey.
That's
about 93, I think, he got the title.
That's it, we've had a text
about Mick, we've had three or four text messages on that, most notably from...
Mick from Hunter Valley, there you go.
Oh, righto. Yeah. No, you've done the right thing. This comes from one of our regulars, Jack from Old Bar. Long overdue decisions in sport after nearly 20 years, the release from jail and presentation of an honorary title belt to Reuben Hurricane Carter. On a lighter note, the retirement of Barry Gomesel. So, there you go. We've got... Joel from Cronulla, who said Ben and Chris Anderson. There's a good one. Actually, I think that was Craig from Cronulla. I just keep forgetting what his pseudonym is this week. 13:53:53 is the open line number. Dave is there. G'day, Dave.
G'day.
Morning, Dave.
The late acknowledgement in sport.
Yes.
Back in 1912, there was a American Indian named Jim Thorpe. Won gold medals in the pentathlon and the decathlon for America. And they found out that he'd played one season of minor baseball and they declared him a professional and they took the medals away. And he got his medals back 30 years after he died.
That's right, yeah, no.
1983.
They say he's the greatest athlete of them all, just about
Jimmy
Thorpe.
Jim Thorpe.
Mm. Yeah. Oh, great nomination, Dave.
Good call, Dave.
Good on you, mate.
Gee, okay.
You learn a lot from your listeners, don't you?
And you've got Jimmy Thorpe up there on Google.
There he is.
He played a heap of professional sports, didn't he?
Yeah, let's see what he played here. He played for the New York Giants. This is all his football career, all-pro team. And we've got a baseball career, a football career, an Olympic career.
And a basketball career.
And a basketball career. So, there you go.
What a champion.
great nomination, Dave. Actually, you know what, Dave?
On the little list, a couple of asterisks there,
double
James.
Asterisks here. Good on you. We'll take a break. And after that break, we'll have a chat with Michael Hawkes.
Mum, do you hear that beeping sound?
You left the fridge door open again.
Close. It's the sound of Bingley trucks loading new refrigerators ready for free delivery.
And free unpacking. We take away the packaging too.
And we'll take away your old fridge free.
It's a great deal.
Buy any new refrigerator right now from Bingley and you'll get free full service delivery.
You know when the beeping will stop, Lionel?
Yes, very soon. So be quick. See in store or bingley.com.au for details.
It's Brett Ogle here. Look, Drummond Golf has asked me to do a world first on radio, a 15-hour commercial where I read out their entire stock list to prove that only Drummond Golf has a range that includes all the famous brands in bags, clubs, buggies, balls, shoes, clothing and accessories. But like you, I'd rather be out playing golf. So if anyone from Drummond Golf asks, can you tell them you heard the 15-hour ad and it was fantastic? Thanks.
Fear the Dragon. Fear the Dragon. Winner of the North American Cup. Beat Huntsville 4 out of 4. Beat Down by the Seaside 4 out of 7. Limited semen available. Visit urabee.com.au.
Now, we've been telling you a lot about the K-Ranch. I was out there on Thursday night for the Friday morning show, Raymond, the K-Ranch. The arena is unbelievable. You should go out there and have a look at it. We've been telling you about the biggest cowboy Christmas ever. It's on now, K-Ranch Arena, Camden. But whatever you do, don't miss the spectacular Extreme Bulls Finals. It's this Saturday. It's already gone, of course, last night. And today, 2 o'clock today. It's Australia's elite bull riders battling it out in the baddest, meanest, one-ton athletes in their quest to take home the gold buckle. So we've got Sunday today at 2 p.m., full of thrills and spills like you've never seen before. Tickets from $30. Don't worry about getting wet. You're undercover.
Can you imagine yourself doing that?
Never.
Yeah, she's a courageous one.
Too brave for me.
Yeah.
Save by booking online now at K-Ranch. That's the letter K, kranch.com.au.
To Enriquez. Pushes out through cover point, and that will be a century for Moses Enriquez. And he's done it in fine style, quick time. He's 8th first-class century.
On Sky Sports Radio, you're tuned to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
There you go. Yeah, John Glossop played for the Sharkies in between 1975 and 1983.
Mm-hmm.
And Ted Glossop, let's have a look at his coaching career.
Coaching the Sharks during that period?
He played for the Dragons. So we'll have to. It's Edward and Charles Glossop. We'll get through on that one, but we're going to try and get an update on that one. Zorba's right, boys. Won't be long when Ivan has to say, "Son, you're too slow and predictable, and drop you to reserve grade, and win a halfback with spark." No name on that one. There you go. Hey, Ray, if Jimmy makes you wait, then just get him 3 cartons flight. Right, back him in.
And we did have a caller or a text message earlier just inquiring about Jeff Penza.
Yes,
how
have you got an
recovery.
Update?
I did, yeah, and Jeff's been kind enough to return serve. He still can't put weight on his leg until the end of the year. The other injuries don't worry him too much, but he could be out for a few months depending on how that broken leg heals. So we wish Jeff a speedy recovery, though.
Pete from Artarmon says, overdue decisions. The reopening of Eagle Farm Racecourse.
Good
it?
One.
It's going to be on
next month.
19th
finals,
of December.
Yeah.
Anthony Mundine retiring. Well, that hasn't happened yet, Pete, although we think it's going to be after his fight with the cricket journalist for the Daily Telegraph, Ben Horne.
Jeff Horne, was it? I made a mistake.
I thought there'd been a shame.
Poor old Benny's workload, terrific. He doesn't want to get training for
time
a fight
to, time
either.
To train for a title fight. They'd be about the same weight, though, wouldn't they?
Oh,
be about 75 kilos.
I suppose, yeah.
There we go. And three, Jared Hayne to stay with one club for more than 1 year. So, Pete from Artarmon, yeah, we just heard Zorba's thoughts on Jared Hayne. We wonder what's happening there. By the way, Craig from Cronulla has come again and said, Wayne and Darius Bennett.
That's a good one.
It's not bad. Thank you, Craig. We do appreciate it. Jeff's on the line. G'day, Jeff.
Yeah, g'day, boys.
Morning, Jeff.
On the overdue decisions, this one hasn't happened yet. That's why it's overdue.
Mm.
Racing Victoria making a stand on who trains Lloyd Williams' horse.
It's not a bad one, Jeff.
That may never happen,
and
Jeff.
Also, before I go, can I just ask another question?
Yeah.
There's a bloke at my local TAB keeps on going around telling everybody that Paul Gow, the golfer, is Earl McPherson's brother. Now, I have Googled that, and I cannot find any connection between Paul Gow and Earl McPherson.
Unfortunately for Gowie, I'm going to have to confirm that as well, too. Any sort of connection.
Zero.
Now, of course, what was the father's name is Peter Gow.
Yeah.
Right. So, but her name is Elle McPherson.
Tenuous link. So.
So unfortunately, Gowie, if Gowie is the brother of Elle Macpherson, I mean, I'll tell you what, talk about being all stacked in one.
Sure are,
she's
man.
Taller than him. She's better looking than him. Oh, I'd probably go as far as you could probably play golf better than him.
Oh, you're hard, man. Poor fella. We'll move on.
Sorry, who was that, Jeff?
It was
sorry,
Jeff. He's gone top of the pile.
There we go.
We'll get this show back on the road. Team Hawks had a double yesterday with two really good, tough horses, First Hand and Notio. And Michael Hawks has been good enough to join us on a Sunday morning. Michael, good morning. Congratulations. Three winners for the weekend. Stables on fire. And we were just talking to Tommy Berry earlier. First Hand, the key to this horse, I think, Michael, is just getting that horse to settle early doors.
Oh, well, morning, fellas. How are you? But first of all, the key, I think Tommy said it was him, wasn't it?
He took a bit of credit too. You don't worry.
Look, we've been trying for a long time to get this bloke to settle, and you know, yesterday it was just a perfect. It was actually a perfect ride because he jumped good. He actually used the leader to his advantage, Tommy, and just made the leader work, and you know, just didn't grab a hold straight away. Had he have grabbed a hold straight away to get him to relax, the leader would have crossed him, and of course it would have been a different story. But look, it was a brilliant ride. You've got to give credit where credit's due, but the horse is actually relaxing as he gets older, and you know, it was a good win.
Look, at the 300 metre mark, what was your thoughts, Michael? I was thinking, oh,
what's much of a gap?
Where's the run coming? Because you could see he had a whole heap of horse under him.
Yeah, but that's the thing, though, Jimmy. You know, like it's all about patience in this game. And as I said on TV, he was travelling so well that when the gap came, he was able to push that horse off outside him and just give him half a nudge. And it's like yourself when you're running down the road next to someone. If you're going better and just touch someone or they're at full pelt, you know, they get off balance. Mm. And when you got a lap full of horse like he was, I wasn't really worried to a degree because it was always hopefully going to happen. And if it didn't happen, you know what? That would have been the luck of the game. He would have rode for luck. But he couldn't really go anywhere anyway because he was always third on the fence. So. Mm. Look, it did happen. It's a lot easier, you know, now looking at it going back. But in those instances, you're better off keeping hold of your horse, keeping him balanced, and then just edging out. And then that's when they're able to really hit the line. So, you know, it's all about on the post winning, not at the top of the straight. So it was a good ride.
Yeah. Hey, Michael, could he get 1600 First Hand? And the reason I ask that is because is he potentially a Villiers hope for you next month?
Look, it might come a bit too soon, Ray, to be fair. I know, you know, he's 6 year old and you're sort of, I'm saying that now, but he's really just started to come of age. Mm. He's always had his fair share of ability. He's always been wanting to get a bit keen in his races. Hence, that's why we've always sort of kept him to the 1200 metre races, because we just felt that the harder they go, the better it is for him. Albeit yesterday, it was 1400, small field. They didn't go overly hard. Because they ran home and I think tick over 33. But it might come a bit too soon for him. Mm. Not saying we won't, but reality is it just could. So, look, the horse will tell us, you know, he's pulled up well this morning. And, you know, going forward, it's just something that we'll have to look at.
Race 6, Notio was the winner for the yard as well. This is a horse that's been in Melbourne for quite some time. Why the decision to come back for Sydney? Why the placing there, Michael? And I guess, I think you made mention of this too, a good bit of work from the pre-trainer, Wayne.
Hope he's listening, Michael.
We have a little bit of banter going on, but, you know, well, in all fairness, it doesn't really matter where we get the winners, whether it's in Sydney, Melbourne, you know, in other states for that matter. It's all a team effort and everyone works together. And, you know, we do travel our horses up and down the highway quite a bit for that reason. And, look, placing his horse was brilliant. You know, it was the right race for him. And the reason he was back is because our prize money is good at the moment. Mm. You know, things were pretty hot in Melbourne, obviously, for the carnival. And, you know, horses like Notio, you're just trying to get him back on song. Now, he's another five-year-old that's taken a bit of time. And what he did do yesterday, though, he actually jumped brilliantly. And of late in Melbourne, he's been jumping a bit tardy and he's always sort of been getting back in his races. And, you know, once again, you've got to give credit. Like, he flew the machines, Corey, just straight across.
Yep.
You know, got him into the best position. And he was able to travel well. And then come around the corner, same thing. The gap came, he just popped off, and he hit the line. So, once again, it was honestly, it was two brilliant rides or three brilliant rides. You know, James McDonald on Friday night on Saint Da Vinci, and you know that's the luck that you can get. And you know, when you're riding well and the horse is in the right race, these are the results that you get.
I was going to ask you about Saint Da Vinci, Michael. I know it was only a maiden on Friday night, but it was a pretty spectacular win, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. You know, Ray, I think he had 5 seconds, you know, up until that point. And, you know, trying to win your maiden is very, very difficult. Some horses, it can happen straight away, and some can happen as Friday night, such as, say, Da Vinci as a four-year-old. So, look, he's been ever consistent. He's done a great job. Yeah, James was probably... I said to him, you know, going out, I said, look, it's a small field. It's the first time at the trip. Just ride him like the best horse when he was sort of last back to fence.
He was confident.
I was not that I was too worried about it, but it was just not really the position you want to be in. And he actually got going and was starting to tack up behind them. And he actually had the ease a bit on the corner. And had he have come out wide and been able to have that momentum in his running, he would have won by probably 3 or 4. And he had to switch back to the inside. And once again, the best part, he just let it all unfold, didn't panic. And once he got balanced up, he really hit the line. So it's amazing what, you know, the confidence can give a horse a win. He's done well. So hopefully now he can go on with it. But he's been ever consistent, that's for sure.
Absolutely.
Michael, part owner Shani was on a hen's night. Where was part owner Claire for the win of First Hand?
Yeah, she was with Charlie. So believe it or not, you know what? I was the Uber driver last night. I got a phone call very, very early this morning, and I went into town and picked them up. So they had a good night, and they got home safe and sound.
More brownie points for you, Michael.
I hope they tipped well.
So that's what happens. You try to double, and you're an Uber driver.
Well, we appreciate you getting up early for us too on the Sunday morning. Well done over the last couple of days for the yard, and we'll speak soon.
Appreciate it. Cheers.
Thanks, Michael.
Michael Hawkes there, training in conjunction with his father, John, and brother, Wayne. Two winners yesterday, and as Ray mentioned, the winner on Friday as well. 13:53:53, that's the open line number. We're going to take a break, Raymond, but tell you what, though, if you want to be a part of the quiz, the Event Cinemas quiz, call now on 13:53:53. Call now, just a score update. Oh, who cares? Doesn't matter, really. I'm on 26. My mathematics is not strong. However, with 52 Sundays in a year, it suggests to me it'll be very hard to beat today. 13:53.
The biggest cowboy Christmas ever is now on at K Ranch Arena near Camden. Whatever you do, don't miss the spectacular Extreme Bulls Finals this Saturday and Sunday. See Australia's elite bull riders battle it out on the baddest, meanest one-ton athletes in their quest to take home the gold buckle. Two big shows, Saturday at 6 p.m. and Sunday at 2 p.m. full of thrills and spills like you've never seen before. Tickets from $30. Save by booking online at kranch.com.au.
Punters, we bet you can't find a better betting app than the Tab app. With more live Sky Racing than any other app, exclusive race previews and the biggest range of race replays on offer, you have everything you need to give you the best betting experience all in the palm of your hand. Plus, enjoy access to detailed form, cutting-edge data and expert analysis from the best in the business. Download the Tab app today and stay ahead of the game. Tab. Terms and conditions apply. See tab.com.au. Gamble responsibly.
The Australian Women's Health Diary funds life-saving breast cancer trials research. Just $18.95 from newsagents Woolworths and magshop.com.au. The Australian Women's Health Diary. Buy the diary that saves lives today.
The annual Big Sports Breakfast Lunch has become one of the hottest tickets on the sporting calendar. Raymond, join TK Laurie and the rest of the Big Sports Breakfast crew, except Ray, for 2019's event. You ever been?
Yeah, I've been, yeah. But it... Yeah, years ago, but it just...
Oh, right. I mustn't have been talking to you at that point.
Probably weren't, no.
Who's the bloke up there with the magnificent hair? it'll be a fabulous afternoon with a host of your sporting favourites. Friday, February 22, in the Big Top at Sydney's Luna Park. Tickets, $160 per person. Includes a two-course lunch and drinks. Grab your workmates or some friends and book a table. I know Simon from up the Hunter Valley there, Singleton Rugby Club. He's already booked in.
It's a great afternoon.
And, of course, we lined him up with Scotty Foster from Steve Foster. And so they've done a lot of business over the course of the last 12 months. So
connections.
Yeah, exactly.
Business connections.
Call Billy at Luna Park on 0468 928 242. That's 0468 928 242. Yeah, that's the number. Give it a call.
Murphy stepping inside. The tackle was simply not good enough from Campagnaro. Adam Ashley Cooper onto David Pocock. Pocock has support from Connor Betty, and Australia have their first try.
On Sky Sports Radio, you're tuned to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
Sydney's first 4DX cinema at Event Cinemas George Street is officially open. 4DX is the next step in movie-going evolution. Immerse yourself, James, in the movie with high-tech moving seats that match the on-screen action and special effects, including wind, fog and water. Embrace your inner anti-hero with Venom, up first in the brand-new 4DX cinema. Feel the film. Good slogan, that, isn't it?
Feel the film.
Tickets on sale now at eventcinemas.com.au.
Just wonder how they go if you had watched a movie called, like, Perfect Storm.
Oh.
You know, when the water comes over the boat, do you cop that much water?
Jeez, drown.
This is all, by the way, Prakash's ideas.
Oh, mate, he's just... We've seen that star just going to the ascendancy over the last few years.
We've just attached ourselves to him.
Well, he's left us a long way behind, hasn't he? Unfortunately. He's gone off in the stratosphere.
Every now and then, he'll return a phone call, so... We appreciate that, Prakash.
More important people and things to worry about than
that's
us.
A very good point. Daniel's on the line. He's going to be player one. He's going to be playing, well, ostensibly for himself, but
absolutely.
If he wins, it'll be for me as well. G'day, Daniel.
Hey, Jimmy. Ray, how you going?
How are you,
Daniel? Really well, mate. I wish you all the very best with this. Question one. What underhanded dealing has Roger Federer been accused of by Frenchman Julien Benneteau?
No,
I can't give you a clue, sorry.
We had an SMS about it this morning,
yeah,
actually.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
Just standing. They had a go at an umpire.
Yeah. He might have 20 years ago, but it's an obscure question.
And it comes up every year, doesn't it? This same topic about Roger Federer's scheduling, getting the nighttime draws.
Yeah, they're saying he's been given an unfair scheduling advantage in the Australian Open, but very obscure. Producer Steve. I think I'm giving you a cross, Daniel, and I'm giving producer Steve two crosses.
He's a sore loser, isn't he, Steve? Hang on,
I haven't lost yet.
No, but one question. Well, Daniel will get it back on track here.
All right, here we go, Daniel. Question two. In which city does the Super Rugby team, the Stormers, play their home games? Is it A, Cape Town, B, Otago, or C, Pretoria?
Cape Town.
Yes, well done.
Solid.
Well done. I've been to Newlands Stadium at Cape Town.
Is that the one with the big cliff?
Table Mountain in the background. Okay. Yeah, magnificent. Mm. Question three. Which team sacked former Socceroo Addy Kuehl last week? Was it A, Northampton Town, B, Norwich City, or C, Notts County?
Notts County.
Ooh, what a strong comeback after that ridiculous earlier question, Daniel. Good work.
See, Harry Kuehl went on social media and thanked everybody for the opportunity. Do you see what happened next?
No, what happened next?
Oh, he got absolutely panned by Notts County. They just climbed into him.
Oh, well.
It was so vicious.
There we go.
Good riddance out of here, anyway. So what do you get to? Be hard to beat. Hey, Wayne, you there?
Yeah.
Hey, Wayne, we need two to tie, three to win, mate. How are you feeling?
No, not confident at all.
Here we go. We'll get off to a flying start here, Wayne. Question number one. Which Big Bash team has signed Englishman Joe Root for this summer?
Okay, English. Which Big Bash league? I'd say the
J-O-E-R-O-O-T.
I'd say Perth.
Sydney Thunder. He got a century too against Swanker, second test.
He's a good player.
Good player, Joe Root. Here we go, Wayne. We need this one. Question number two. Which city does the NBA team, the Nuggets, play their home games in? A, Denver. B, Houston. C, Portland.
I think Denver.
Yeah, spot on, Wayne. We're flying now. Here we go. This is the tie. In which city is Murrayfield Stadium? A, is it Dublin? B, Edinburgh. C, Newcastle.
So you say so Murrayfield Stadium?
Yeah. In which city is Murrayfield Stadium? A, Dublin. B, Edinburgh. C, Newcastle.
I got Newcastle.
It's in Scotland. It's in Edinburgh, mate. Murrayfield. Bad luck.
Oh, hang on. Can't swear on the radio, Wayne. I was going to say Murrayfield, all one word too, when you're typing it into a search engine. But anyway, no need for that, Raymond. Here we go. Daniel's on the line. Daniel, you there?
Yeah, mate.
Well done, Daniel.
Well done. Mate, where do you live, Daniel?
Just Coolerman, just north of Wagga.
Are you serious? Jimmy's part of the world, Daniel.
Daniel, we were talking about it yesterday with friends. We went to, unfortunately, James Matthews' funeral at Coolerman between Christmas and New Year. I think it was 2003. No Coolerman, obviously from the Riverina, so I know that area pretty well. But
is there event cinemas nearby? Is there one in Wagga?
I wouldn't have thought so. I don't think there is one.
I'll take a tad voucher, right?
I'm not sure we're allowed to do that.
I could do that, yeah.
But Daniel, Ray has a way of making things work, so we might just get something onto that. Stay on the line, mate. We'll get your details. We'll work something out. We'll work something out. So there you go. Ray?
Is there event cinemas in Wagga? No?
No.
Okay.
Canberra?
We've got to look after Daniel.
Yeah. Oh, no, you'll look after him too. Pity he wasn't your place. Hang on, I'll just do a little update here, Roman. 27-19. I think there's only one word. I think there's only one word to describe it, isn't there?
It's Winx-like victory.
Comprehensive. Comprehensive. Time for a break. After the break, we'll have a little tease for our mystery voice comp, and we'll have our man Phil Moss will give us an update on what his thoughts were of the Socceroos' performance. 1-1 with South Korea last night.
Mum, do you hear that beeping sound?
You left the fridge door open again.
Close. It's the sound of Bingley trucks loading new refrigerators ready for free delivery.
And free unpacking. We take away the packaging too.
And we'll take away your old fridge free.
It's a great deal.
Buy any new refrigerator right now from Bingley and you'll get free full service delivery.
You know when the beeping will stop, Lionel?
Yes, very soon. So be quick. See in store or bingley.com.au for details.
Your family deserves to be safe and secure at home. That's where Wideline Windows and Doors can help. Their secure line screens offer security without compromising on design or your view. And their safe line window screens are designed to prevent falls, keeping your youngest family members safe and sound. For security, safety and peace of mind, call Wideline Windows and Doors. Or visit their website at www.wideline.com.au.
Chess. Rogic! On the follow-up, the debutant must be. It is the equaliser from Massimo Luongo in injury time.
On Sky Sports Radio, you're tuned to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
You're right. When that red light flashes.
Welcome back to the program. That didn't go to air, did it?
No. You're not feeling well today, are you?
Oh, I'm a little bit sniffly. However, I've been perked up by the victory.
Oh, funny about that.
As I said to you in the ad break, it's so satisfying
to win.
Not only the win, but by such a margin, too.
Jeez, you'd like to rub it in. Any decisions yet?
Not yet. 1353 53 is the open line number. By the way, we've got this coming up shortly. Not now. Please.
Don't call now.
This is our mystery voice call that we're going to play after 9 o'clock, but here's a little tease.
Aside from sport, another close thing to my heart is a sense of community and family.
Oh, hang on. There was a little clue there at the end, was there? I think it's a female. Well, I've just eliminated 50% of them.
You have.
So there you go.
Have you got an idea?
None.
I might have. Obviously, we can't give away clues, can we?
Write it down.
Okay.
Okay. All right. So we've got Mossy coming up very shortly. So, that's what I would have thought too.
Did you?
Yeah.
Okay.
1353 is the upper line. But don't call now about who you think that mystery female voice is. Right now, we've got to speak to our man. He's covering the football. I tell you what. Andy Harper gave a scathing assessment of Bert van Marwijk and the way he played with the Socceroos and the messages he was giving them. We know it would have been different with Graham Arnold. Phil Moss knows him better than most from a coaching point of view. Be interested to see what his thoughts were on Arnie and the way he's preparing these Socceroos. 1-1 with South Korea and they got there late. Mossy's on the line. G'day, Mossy.
G'day, guys. How you going?
Phil. 1-1, very late. Bit scrappy, mistake from Sainsbury was the concern. What was your take on the game last night?
Look, I think although it was very dramatic, I think the Socceroos certainly deserved the goal and they deserved at least the point. I was really, really impressed with the way they played. Of course, there's going to be the big question mark will be where are the goals going to come from. It's been the question that's been hanging over the Socceroos for some time now, and if you look at their last 94 goals scored, Timmy Cahill and Mila Jedmak produced 38 of them. Mm-hmm. Jedmak usually from set pieces or penalties. But Timmy Cahill, you know, he needs no explanation as to where his goals came from and how important they were. So that is continues to be Graham Arnold's biggest conundrum, is finding those regular goals. But certainly the way they played, the way they set out, had all the hallmarks of Arnie and the way he likes to play the game. I thought it was a really good brand of football. We just need that end product, which, you know, we got against Kuwait with four goals. Last night, the good news is we created enough chances to score a few goals, which is a good sign. There was players in the box. It just didn't happen on the night. So moving forward to Lebanon, you'd like to think that we'll find the back of the net. Some of those goal scorers will get confidence.
Yeah, Phil, on that point, we've actually had a couple of SMSs about Australia's lack of potency in front of goal. Is there a striker or two emerging in the A-League who you feel could be the hope of the side, so to speak, going to the next World Cup?
Well, we used to joke that we wish we could make Bobo Australian.
Yeah.
And that does say something. There's no doubt, right? You know, it's the hardest part of football is scoring goals. It's the part that, you know, at the end of the day, you can be as complicated as you like about football, but our game is about scoring goals. That's why strikers the world over that can score them get paid the big bucks. But look, there will be players that emerge. Tommy Urich still, I don't think, has hit top gear. And I think players like Tommy Urich, Tommy Rogic, Lecky, Cruz, Aaron Morley, I think those guys have all got goals in them. Mm-hmm. And I think the way Arnie likes to play and the numbers he likes to get in the box and how he puts together his attacking patterns, I think will suit these guys. And excuse me, I think what we saw from Tommy Rogic in that first half an hour last night, I haven't seen the guy play better.
Yeah.
I think that's a sign that he's thriving under Graham Arnold's tutelage. He brought him into the A-League with the Mariners, if you remember, from indoor futsal. And I really think players like that will really thrive under the way he wants to play.
Okay.
The unfortunate part of that, though, Jimmy, is that we haven't got a lot of time. We got one more game on Tuesday, and that's pretty much it going into the Asian Cup. So it's not like he's got a lot of time to bring the best out of those guys. He's just got to instill belief, and those patterns that you saw last night will continue through to the Asian Cup.
I mentioned that those comments that I heard from Andy Harper. It was scathing. It was so strong about Bert van Marwijk and the messages. Did you get the same sense from van Marwijk? And you know Arnie well, and obviously it's a very different feel, or certainly a very positive feel, that he would bring into a dressing room and on the training paddock.
Yeah, I tend to disagree a bit with Harps. I think Van Marwijk certainly, you know, he's at the other end of the spectrum to Ange Postecoglou. He focused, you know, almost entirely on defence and making sure the structures were right when the Socceroos didn't have the ball. And I think that brought a bit more balance for Arnie to work off, if you look at the platform for him to work off. And he said that he's not going to come in and change things. He's just going to add layers. And to be fair, after the game last night, Arnie took full responsibility for the goals. We haven't really worked on things without the ball at the moment because we've got to get our patterns and our continuity, our combinations right with the ball. And that's a sign of his mentality. It's about what they do with the ball. But he'll certainly work on things leading into the Asian Cup in the camps that he has about what they do without the ball. But I think Van Marwijk set a defensive platform that the Socceroos can work with, because you've got to be hard to break down in those big tournaments when the games come thick and fast.
Yeah, no, fair enough. And speaking of the Asian Cup, Phil, one of the decisions that Arns has had to make is next Socceroos skipper, and I guess it came down to Mark Milligan v Trent Sainsbury, and he's gone with Mark Milligan.
Yeah, that's right. And look, if you break it down and take the emotion out of it, it's a logical decision. You know, at the end of the day, Millsy was toying with the idea of retiring after the World Cup. Some discussions and a move to Hibernian in Scotland made him flip on that decision and stay with the Socceroos. And he's been to four World Cups. He was the captain of the Olympic team back in 2007 and 8 for the Beijing Olympics when Arnie and myself were Arnie was the head coach, I was his assistant, and he's a fantastic leader. So it makes perfect sense that going into a big tournament like this, when there's not a lot of time to prepare under the new coach, that there is some stability, because they've lost a lot of experience. Timmy Cahill, Jedmak, those types,
You know, it's hard to replace that, but Millsy has that in spades. He's a very influential player on and off the pitch, so it's a big tick for me.
FFA AGM tomorrow. This has garnered a lot of interest, a lot of press around this. There's been a fair bit of cattle trading, I think is the term they use around that. Craig Foster, who was a very high-profile candidate, has pulled the pin at this point. Are you confident, and you know this a lot better than I do, are you confident that they're going to get a board that is going to be able to take the game forward in Australia and satisfy everything from a FIFA point of view?
No, I'm not, Jimmy.
Right.
And it pains me to say that. I was really looking forward to Craig Foster getting across the line, I have to say. And Fozzie's, you know, he divides opinion.
Yeah.
Like most high-profile identities in their respective sports, because they have to be opinionated. They, you know, they have an agenda to deliver off. And I thought all the noises coming out of Fozzie's mouth were very good, and had the game's best interests at heart.
Yep.
And I think we're at a stage where we needed a football person, a dyed-in-the-wool football person to lead us forward. So I was really disappointed to see that news on Friday night. Danny Mullis is probably the next best football person if you're looking at that. And Heather Reid from the ACT also has been around the game for a long time. But I just think there's a real opportunity missed there with Craig Foster. You know, he obviously thought the political manoeuvring going on behind the scenes just made it impossible for him to get across the line at this stage. I think you'll see him, you know, running our game at some stage down the track. Now is obviously not the right time for him, but I thought it was the right time for the game.
Mm. Got to fly, mate. Got the news coming. We do appreciate that. Hopefully next week you'll join us in the studio. I'm not sure what the issue was this week, however, but...